This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
In the early morning hours of KPFT Houston, I thought it was the ID.
Oh.
Your mic isn't even on, so don't even try, Mary.
The program contains language or images of a frank or sensitive nature, which may be considered objectionable by some. Listener discretion is advised.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you've tuned in to After Hours, a continuing tradition on KPFT Houston 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, and music geared for gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people. Here at After Hours, we may be diverse, but we have one thing in common. We are all out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of their closets. That means standing up for yourself, taking responsibility for your own life, and being proud of who you are. Realistically, we know not everyone can do that because of age, job, or frame of mind. That's okay. We're here for you too. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this week's edition of After Hours.
It is 11. It's... Oh, hell, I screwed it up already. It's 2 a.m. on the East Coast, 11 p.m. on the West Coast, and it's 1 a.m. up in Minneapolis, where at the airport the new warning is going, the white zone is for immediate loading and unloading. There is no blowing of senators in the red zone. You've tuned in to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, your home for toe-tapping and under-the-stall fun that won't involve the police.
And you are.
My name is Chris Harrison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the other one.
God, you sounded awful in that.
That was very, very, very old. Since our 20th anniversary is coming up next week, I thought I'd play one of our many openings that we've had over the years. That was, at least 15 years ago.
One of the preachier ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now I know why ones. I changed that. Because that was our most recent one before our current one.
Well, was it?
Yeah.
Wow. I played it that long. Yeah. I must have had something in between and then went back to it.
Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah, because, I mean, we've done, oh my God, at least half a dozen different openings.
Yeah, I'm starting to remember how long I've actually been here now.
See?
That's the scarier part.
Yeah. Yeah, next week I'm going to have the original opening of After Hours that started the show, and some even older music.
Oh, more vinyl?
Yes, yes. I'm going to be probably dragging out the vinyl to get it. We opened with Bronski Beat doing Why, which was a popular song when this show started.
That's good, because when you handed it to me, it's like, don't play Small Town Boy. We played it last week.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So.
Cool.
So.
So how about that, Larry Craig?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up.
To be honest with you, I can't blame him.
Scooter's here tonight because he needs some education on tea room sex.
Well, no, look, it's not like that. I'm actually doing an investigative report on this.
Okay.
You know I'm a long-standing, respected investigative journalist here at KPFT. And I'm doing a story on this. And I was doing some research on it tonight. And it went down to the, Bush International.
Mm-hmm.
I hit every bathroom there. And I'm doing the foot thing. And
yeah,
nothing. I mean, I got the hand signals and, you know, this this.
Whoa.
Everything.
Okay.
Every hand signal you can think of. No action. No response whatsoever unless you count, like, flatulence or something as being a...
Well, you see, first of all...
What am I doing wrong?
For real tea room sex, and we're not, you know, the correct term is tea room rather than bathroom. You know, that's so that you can, in the midst of straight people and those not in the know, you can talk about it openly with your friends and they don't know what you're talking about when you say tea room.
Okay.
First of all, it's you have to pick the right tea room.
Right.
And
so now do you put a mark over the door like password?
Bush International is not one.
Oh.
No.
Terminal B, adjacent to the baggage claim, is a cruisy restroom.
What you need...
I didn't go to that.
First of all, what you need for a nice cruisy tea room...
Better shoes?
Is first of all, double doors. You know the
You mean one, a way in and a way out.
Yes. So that when they open the first door, you can hear it, and get prepared for them to open the second door, so you don't get caught.
Okay. Yeah, I think most of us now have that S curve to it, so that you cannot see into it, but you don't have to worry about, because your hands are usually full in an airport, so you can't open up.
Well, my hands usually
full in the bathroom.
Yeah,
but no, your carry-on luggage.
For you,
I never heard the euphemism before.
Yeah,
for you, your makeup bag.
That's another reason why a tea room at Bush is not
but Terminal B.
Mm-hmm.
Is my vibrator set off the metal detector.
Really?
Yeah.
Really did
it had it stashed really well, too.
But it's correct. The toe-tapping thing is a long-standing beginning.
All right.
You know, kind of, you know, tap your toe. And
so is it more of a sideways action? Or
just up and down.
Up and down. Okay.
And then if
you
get a response, you kind of move your foot a little closer.
How do you know you're getting a response?
Them.
The other foot?
Because the other foot taps the same way.
Okay.
And then, you know.
So Morse code?
And both parties kind of move their feet closer together until they're just about touching. And then one or the other kind of creeps down and kind of looks under the stall to see if there's any kind of action going on.
Already?
Yeah. The hand gesture that they talked about.
Okay.
That was the one who wants to do the sucking.
Okay.
Motions with the hand underneath the stall.
Oh, that's.
And then the other party, of course, who has his pants down at his knees, at his feet, lowers himself underneath the stall to get serviced.
But you would see at the.
You have your lower part
from one to the other.
Yeah,
here's a picture of toilets. Okay,
the lower part of your body is underneath the stall wall, and even
yes, believe it or not, I found a website that's actually giving you the same information he's giving you. Yeah, if someone's beside you, try tapping your foot once and see if he taps back.
See
if he does, move your foot closer and do it again.
Mm-hmm.
After a couple of taps back and forth, you're usually in luck. Clearing your throat can also be a good way of letting other guys know the restroom that you were there.
Yes.
Clearing your throat? You mean finishing? Never mind.
No, that's the beginning, clearing your throat.
That's that's when you now we're talking about you've already there's only two of you in there, or you know that everybody else is there to play.
Okay.
You know, first of all, you have to make sure that it's, you know, we're safe here.
If there are no glory holes, you can go for under the stall action.
Right.
Which you have to be careful because some of
the
older ones have got
nimble.
The metal ones, you know, I mean, that could be rusted out on the bottom. You can get it cut. I mean, you know.
Well, you know.
That's the dangers you have to put yourself into.
Well, the guy on the other side could look like Larry Craig. That would.
Well, that's part of it. You know, that's why they call it anonymous sex, because you
but
don't
the cop
see
was hot.
The other, you don't see the other one, and they can be anybody you want them to be.
Yeah.
See, that's how that works. And if you're in an older bathroom and if you're lucky enough to have a glory hole, then, you know, what you just. The one who wants to do the sucking will put their finger through the hole.
Okay.
Yes. That's.
Now,
of course, you're taking a chance when you're sticking your dick through a hole with some stranger on the other side of it, but
he can leave quickly, open the door really fast,
or chew you.
You're taking a chance sticking your dick pretty much anywhere.
Now, I do like this one idea they have on here with the automatic toilet flushing systems.
Mm-hmm.
Take a couple sheets of toilet paper, fold it, spit on an edge, and cover the sensor. That way you can lean forward to check out other rooster liquors without the toilet automatically flushing.
See how long it's been since I've...
Right.
Well, this is a... See, I'm an old bitch, and when I was a teenager, this was before gay bars, this was before baths, this was before bookstores. That's kind of how you met guys.
But not at an airport, right? It's more like a Greyhound thing, isn't it?
Actually, a train station was my
train station.
First time I
he used
into
to
it.
Blow the coal the coal filler upper.
Spam track.
You got to remember, you know, airports weren't big when he was... He went out there and helped. He blew the propeller guy, then helped spin the propeller.
There you go. There you go. That's how.
You know, this gives you cruising tips for, you know, the general tips: the baths, the gym, parks and car parks,
mm-hmm. department stores,
restrooms, tea rooms.
One, yeah.
Toys.
Oh yeah. I mean, let's see.
Hyatt Regency downtown was a very popular one.
Ah. Oh, here in Houston? Let's see. The bookstore, well, Midtown
good.
Spa.
Like it's really strange.
Oh, some of the interesting
places.
Bear Creek Park.
Don't go to Bear Creek Park.
Is there an airport there?
No.
That's what I was reading before.
That's
what I told you.
When I told you, Terminal 45, what is that?
That means 45 people have posted messages to it. And that's what I told you. Now, cruisy restroom is Terminal B.
That's not a score.
Yeah.
No. Well, their score is, let's see.
They have a score?
No one's given it any ratings yet.
Oh.
No, it's not unrated.
No, 1 to 5 dicks. And
I don't think I don't think I made much of a
Minneapolis
I don't
had
think
four.
I proved their
I don't th- no.
Pretty much just a strikeout.
The YMCA,
yeah.
University of St. Thomas.
Oh, that's the library.
Oh,
no, the gym.
That's as right wing as you can get.
Man. Home Depot.
Homo Depot, you mean?
Macy's
you
Northwest.
I was going to get one because I'm in there all the time.
Here's one. Baylor College by the library. Fiesta. Galleria Mall expansion. Tunnel system downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody answer the phone. The Medical Center, MD Anderson.
Well.
Rice University Fondren Library. I'll close my mouth.
Hey, well, gentlemen, thanks for clearing that up for us.
Yeah, just, you know, a little toe tap, a little wave of the hand, and Galleria Mall Saks. Now, here's one specific. Yeah, parking garage 2, 8th floor stairwell across from St. Luke's Episcopal Hospital main entrance.
What?
The parking garage, number 2.
Wow.
8th floor stairwell.
What time is it?
Across from St. Luke's Episcopal.
Wow. But of course, you realize that if this is on the internet and we're reading it, then so is the police.
The party's usually over by the time it hits the newspaper.
Yeah.
Well, the internet's a little different.
There's been a lot of talk on this website about the police stings,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of talk in here about the crackdowns that are going to be coming because of the enforcement soon of the SOB ordinances.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been a lot of
son of a bitch ordinances. Yeah.
So there's been a lot of talk on here about those different things that are going on in the community. And in fact, because of the news with this, the publisher of this website sent a letter out to everybody who's a member warning them about cruising.
Well, yeah. I had, you know, it had been my understanding that cruising restrooms had kind of fallen out of favor. Maybe
George Michael 10 years ago.
Well, that's true. Maybe
George Michael 2 years ago.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I think living in the Montrose, it's kind of like, gosh, there's so many other places.
Well, let me ask you a question.
And safer places.
This particular type of bathroom cruising, is this more a place where guys who call themselves straight go?
No.
To me, no.
Maybe. Maybe.
Well, the guys who are doing this, a lot of what you see in your tea room and a lot of your bookstores is basically guys who want to get blown. And wife at home won't do it. And they figure, any way I can get my rocks off, I can.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll enjoy it. And they don't have to worry about reciprocating.
Right.
Honey.
It is a kind of people that consider some straight.
Yeah.
Go, okay. It's,
honey, the last time I went to an arcade to suck some dick, all those guys with wedding rings were competition.
Well, there's that, too. There is the down-low factor in that. But there is a lot with, you know, I mean, Senator Craig, wife, couple of kids.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't the first time this has been insinuated.
Oh, hell no. He's had that since college days.
I mean, he's back when Barney Frank got busted for his boy toy running a house of prostitution.
Yeah.
Craig was the first one to say, I'm not gay. And it's like, we didn't ask you.
He was afraid his name was on that list. Yeah.
No. So, no, that's, but like I said, no, it's interesting. We've talked about this.
Well, he keeps saying he's not gay, but he sure ain't straight either.
Yeah, so let me see here. It's, cause I posted the review that was on here from the airport in Minneapolis. Well, actually, it's in St. Paul, officially. You know what's the funny thing, though?
What?
If I would have had the money, I would have been in that airport yesterday.
No kidding.
Yeah. I would have definitely had someone take a picture of me near the bathroom. I should be in Minneapolis right now, but...
Photoshop, man.
Oh, well.
No, I would... Wait a minute, I thought they were... Where is it? It was in there earlier.
This would be very good for my report.
You think so? You think you got what you needed?
Almost.
Well, he didn't, because he left the...
No, he had the... He left the loan.
I'll get it on the way home.
I see.
Yeah. Thank you, gentlemen. Good to see you, Jim.
Thank you, Scooter.
Bye.
Anytime. When's your show on?
Oh, this is going to be on Tuesday afternoon.
Tuesday afternoon. Yeah, okay. Yeah. What about your...
Well, it'll be on there, too.
Okay. Yeah. And when is that on?
That's on Thursday evening at midnight. Yeah, but I also have the monthly show, the CCCP show.
Yeah.
But they didn't meet in New York because there's some snafu, so I kind of have to, I'm doing a local kind of
deoriented. Okay.
Thing. And you are now part of it.
Oh, cool. That'll be fun.
Just what you
That know. Will be fun.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Sure. Take care.
Trying to find the airport in here again.
Okay. I am going to talk to our guests, our after hours quickie. And you're going to talk to Ryan.
Okay.
Da-da-da-da.
So your mics are going on in there. Right. Turn that mic off. Turn that mic off.
Well, welcome to After Hours. Who do we have here tonight?
Hello there.
Looks like misfits to me.
Misfits. We are misfits.
And you are?
I am Renee Cantu. I'm the president of the Misfits.
Mm-hmm.
And I am Casey Ferguson, just a member of the Misfits.
Okay. Just a member?
Just a member.
Nobody is just a member of the Misfits.
Casey is not just a member. We are here to promote the annual Misfits Ball.
Absolutely.
Misfits Ball number 9.
And let me tell you, I know exactly when that is because I'm involved in a fundraiser, and we decided to we had scheduled it on the same day and thought, oh no, we won't have anybody there. We've got to change that date because everybody's going to be at the Misfits Ball.
We appreciate that. Well, this year we are heading back downtown.
Mm-hmm.
We are going. We used to have it at a club called Rehab.
Yes,
Rehab has changed the name. It is now called the Pink Monkey.
Oh.
And we are going to be there. It's
Where is it located?
It's at 709 Franklin.
Oh, that's not
right
far
next
from
to the Magnolia Ballroom.
Yeah,
actually below the Magnolia.
Right.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's below it's street. It's a great space.
Mm-hmm.
It's got sort of a cave-like kind of feature.
Oh, I remember that space. That was like an avant-garde disco some years back.
Yeah, it used to be called Lockdown.
Yes.
No, Lockdown?
No, Rehab? Something.
Before Rehab?
I wasn't here for
Rehab. I don't know. But it is a beautiful space down there.
Yeah, it's a really fun space, and we're really excited about going back.
Yeah, we're excited to return. Lots of crannies and...
Mm-hmm. And nooks, too.
And nooks, too.
We can't forget the nooks.
We're all about nooks.
So it is set for next Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
It will start at 5 o'clock. We are taking donations at the door for $10.
Okay.
Minimum donation.
Oh, okay, good. So I don't have to have a ticket beforehand.
You don't have to have a ticket.
Because I know that the Misfits are having a whole run thing going on. Huh?
Yes.
That we're going to be talking about in just a minute.
Yes. Just wanted to say that the beneficiaries for this year's ball are Baron Omega.
Good.
Dental clinic.
Good.
And their the residential hospice program.
Mm-hmm.
So we're hoping to raise a good amount of money for this.
So while we say a $10 is the minimum donation, some of our participants feel free to donate.
Sure.
Because that's always encouraged.
We were talking about this a couple of weeks ago because Houston and Baring are the first in the nation to have a dental clinic.
Yes.
And the other one that you talked about?
The residential hospice.
Yes.
Omega House.
That is an incredible place. And I don't have enough to say about it and the people who work there because... This is an incredible fun place for someone to go and have a dignified last few days.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. So that $10 donation is going to be at the door, and then mm-hmm. we've got...
And by all means, if you can afford more, give them more.
Absolutely.
Please do. And because it's all going there.
We will have other fundraising activities going on as well.
Mm-hmm. Silent auction.
We have a silent auction, which is going to have... We've got some great, great stuff.
Oh, you usually do.
And we've got, of course, a 50-50 raffle. Mm-hmm. Someone will be walking around selling those tickets.
Good.
And we've added this year a... there's a little area that's going to be a fun foam party.
Ooh.
And we're using that as a fundraiser. You get to, after you go in and frolic in mm-hmm. the foam.
Frolic in foam?
There will be a misfit available to towel you down and prepare you to go in for the rest of the activities that are going on, the dancing and the...
Oh, my God.
And the end of...
God, how many times can I go in and out of the foam party?
You know?
As long as the foam holds up.
That's right. As long as the foam holds up, and as long as there's a misfit there available to towel you dry.
We'll towel you off endlessly.
Oh. now, that sounds like fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be... Again, it's going to be a fun party. Mm. We encourage people to come in their leather and their fetish wear,
mm-hmm.
And there is a clothes check available if anybody wants to.
Right. Right.
So,
or just your jeans, if that's, you know, if you're not into leather. You know, this is, you know, this is other than leather friendly.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Because I've been to one myself.
Yes.
Or two or three in the past. And
I recall seeing you there.
Yeah, well, it was upstairs last year.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, part of it's upstairs.
Exactly. We do have a theme this year. It is, we're calling it Misfits Ball Crisco Inferno.
Ooh.
And we're going with a fireman theme.
I see that. And
I am wearing my fireman pants
today.
Oh,
yes. You are a fireman.
Well, he thinks he's a fireman.
Yeah, I pretend I'm a fireman.
He's smoking, I'll tell you.
We're all still smoking.
We're all still smoking. So that's the ball.
That sounds like fun. So tell me about the rest of the weekend.
The rest of the weekend, it is the Misfits 15th anniversary. Mm-hmm. It's hard to believe we've been around for 15 years.
Wow.
Every 5 years, we do a weekend run.
Okay. So it's not that you didn't do it in... Last year,
correct. Every 5 years.
Oh, okay.
So this is a lucky year.
This is our lucky 15th.
Mm-hmm.
We've got participation from some of the other clubs, the Bears, the Colts.
Oh yeah.
That are going to come and celebrate with us.
All the usual suspects.
We love them all.
Yeah.
We've got some people coming in from out of town mm-hmm. that are going to participate in the run as well. So it's going to be a whole weekend of just fun and
bar hopping and
refreshing beverages.
Refreshing beverages.
Refreshing beverages will be
meeting other hot guys.
By
yes.
All.
Uh huh.
Or enjoyed by all. And the run theme. Since we've been around for 15 years, we are 15 years and still smoking, which kind of
goes with the Crisco Inferno.
Inferno. Yeah,
some of us are still just smoldering, but that might be next year's. The 20th anniversary.
Exactly.
Still
exactly.
Smoldering.
Right. Still a little more ashy, really.
A little more ashy, yeah. We'll start on Ash Wednesday.
Cool.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
So that's it. But
that's great.
I did want to thank you guys for having us, letting us come out and.
Oh, are you kidding? I would have insisted.
It's the second time that I've done it, and it's kind of neat. We appreciate it.
And I like to say too that if you've thought about coming and you've heard different things about it, you know, it's just something for everybody.
Oh,
you know, all guys can find something to do and have a good time and just relax, and it's a wonderful Sunday afternoon activity, and it is our major fundraising.
Even an aged vanilla guy like me has a lot of fun there.
Well. Okay.
I don't know. That discussion you guys were having earlier.
Our next thing for them might be airport. Who knows?
There you go.
That's right. Hey, I did want to mention another thing with the ball. Mm-hmm. We've got one of our other fundraisers is a lockdown. Where you can put a warrant out on someone.
Oh, yes.
And have them arrested. And
mm-hmm.
they have to come up with some cash to match the amount of the warrant. If they don't, they could put in the jail.
Yes.
And they have to raise the money from the jail.
Then they have to beg, borrow, or steal.
Exactly.
And
they've got to do
whatever.
Quote unquote, whatever they need to do to raise the money so they can come out of the jail.
And that can be so much fun.
This year, we are actually offering for people to do pre-sale warrants. Mm. So that if you want to put a warrant out on somebody, as soon as they walk in the door, they are served with a warrant.
Whoa.
So if anyone out there would like to put a warrant out on someone that they know that is going to be at the ball, they can find a misfit. We all have our blank warrants.
Oh, yes.
We'd be happy to put them out.
Yes. Oh,
so
that
this year,
fun.
You can be arrested for being just too hot, or you can be arrested for being an arsonist. Who knows?
Yeah, just never know. Just never know. But it's all for a good cause.
All for a good cause. It's all in fun. And
lots of firemen,
really
lots of hoses.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm looking forward to.
did also want to mention that Casey is our the current boy of Montrose.
Yes, he is.
Yes, I am.
New boy. A couple of weeks ago.
Not a new boy.
I'm really excited about it.
Newly recognized.
Very proud
old
of
boy.
Casey.
Thank you.
So.
And congratulations.
Thank
on
you.
That.
Thank you. I'm excited to represent the community. As I said, when I was elected, this is a wonderful community to be in, and one where I've seen more groups and organizations work together than in any other city I've ever seen. So many others, just they hardly even talk to each other. So
I can't even imagine that.
Well, it's a fact, and I'm just very pleased to be here and very pleased to represent this community, and look forward to doing some fundraising this year and representing everybody.
And when you put together your first fundraiser, you better get your butt over here, and
I'll give you a call.
Okay. Okay, we can always fit you in.
We're great.
Always.
Great, I appreciate it.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Absolutely. That's September the 9th.
Yes.
Next Sunday, 5 p.m. to 9 p.m.
And if you want to join the run, that starts Friday evening?
At the BRB.
At the BRB.
And it's at 707 Franklin.
Yes, 709 Franklin.
709 Franklin.
Under the Magnolia.
Under
the bar is called the Pink Monkey.
Wow, okay. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much. Great. I appreciate it.
And we have a second After Hours quickie here, so it would seem.
Well, I can make an extra quickie.
Good morning.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Is my mic on? Can you hear me? Testing 1, 2.
Yeah,
I can't hear my headphones. First of all, let me say thank you to KPFT Radio that listens to you for allowing me to come down here.
Absolutely.
And following what was said about Boy Montrose, you know, being related to one of the first family people. Well, yeah, being Daddy Montrose.
Yeah.
It's nice to be in the first AARP family of Montrose.
Oh, my God.
Being able to get a group rate this year.
I know. I've got my card already. I get a discount at airports.
Oh, even though we are in the safe zone, I don't think the FCC would like for me to say what I'd like.
Well, when somebody asked, I said, you know, if you can't say anything, don't say anything good at all. But I had something great to say. You know, we get the group rate this year.
Yay!
So thank you, Casey.
It's nice not to have to worry about putting my back out.
Stephen Bunch is here representing the Colt 45s.
Yes,
you are here every first Saturday of the month, and
it was a pleasant surprise to see the Misfits. Thank you.
Yes,
thanks, guys.
And I look forward to that.
Thanks, Renee.
Appreciate it.
We'll see you guys.
Thank you, Casey.
Thanks so much.
See you next week.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that starts at the BRB.
Yeah.
Oh, good grief! I guess I better be there.
See. Yeah, 15th year.
Well, I'll make mine short and sweet. You know,
Crisco. No, that's fine.
You know, because we've got a lot of things with the Colts, and I was hoping somebody would be here talking about that, because the Misfits are a fabulous group, and we're kind of dysfunctionally related back in the day. First of all, before I forget, you know, the holidays are almost upon us.
Mm-hmm.
And being Colts, we love everything holidays, and we have our
The fall harvest roundup coming up in November.
Coming up.
And we are working on getting with other organizations and clubs. This year we have a carnival, our country carnival.
Whoa.
Yeah, and in theory, we're going to get with other groups, be it a bake sale or something like that. So
draws me in every time.
It's more than just a show. Drag show. It's a show and then some. And that is on the, if I'm lying, I'm prying, that is November 11th at the BRB.
11-11.
I didn't think about that. 11-11. So, but other than that, we have lots of details coming up at 8CC. And don't forget, you know, I want to warn you and Stanley.
Yes. Is in town.
The wreaths. Stanley, if you hear the sound of my voice, just, you know, put the money on the pillow because the wreaths are coming back this December.
Good.
At least one, you know, we always try to do things twice.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be handing out the wreaths come November as well. So I know we're already talking November. But
I still have them in hiding, though. I mean, he hasn't seen them yet. So.
Oh, I'm sorry. Ixnay. Those are Judy's wreaths that he's holding.
That's
for
right.
Judy.
Yes. That was wonderful last year doing the wreaths.
You know, it was... what did we hand out? We handed out, I think we handed out 18 wreaths and 16 or 17 showed up.
Wow.
Yeah, and, you know, we'd had more if I had realized that one wreath that we were missing had been sitting in the back seat of my car.
Oops.
No, it was actually, it was one of those spares, a throw-down wreath. Oh, you didn't think I was going to get through here with at least some sort of target practice joke, you know, because I was going to wear my t-shirt saying, not me, I'm with Jimmy, with the big, you know, arrow on the side. Don't shoot me. I'm with the DJ.
Well, you know, the big line of the 90s was Ellen doing, yep, I'm gay. And I think the big line of this decade is, I'm not gay.
Oh, well.
But I'm not straight either.
There was one of the shows that I kind of plagiarized that I did like. I hate repeating after anybody, especially. But he, you know, it was good enough. They had said that what was the previous person that had problems? He was not gay. He was bulimic, but he was afraid to put his own finger down his throat.
You ain't right.
Well, you know.
Did you just wake up? Were you
happy? No. I just took a little bitty narcoleptic. No, I actually forgot that our illustrious president, I didn't forget, our illustrious president is out and about. The president and the secretary are doing their tour.
Oh.
And, no, actually, I kind of overdid it driving Miss Pixie around last night.
Driving Miss Pixie?
Well, yeah, you know, there's with another organization, I won't mention its name, I'll just tell you its initials, ICOH.
yes.
There's a certain candidate, an Empress Elect,
that, I would say.
You know, and there was a lot of, you know, there was, you know, Injun Joe, Tom, and Becky, they were all there, enjoying the fact that we had to stand outside and smoke. It was, you know, we had to count down the countdown till
smokeless. Oh, that's right, because after midnight, everybody had to go outside.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sucks, the big one.
And that was, that's not exactly what we said, but that's pretty good. I'm good to see that the control rooms here are, at least you can still smoke in the control rooms.
Yes, of course. You know. That's always.
Well, yeah, the misfits, and you wouldn't want them not to be smoking.
Because they were smoking.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I knew that they were going to be here, and but you're always first. But
oh no, I don't mind. You know, we're related by blood alcohol. The misfits and the Call 45s.
Absolutely.
And go back in the day, you know, I won't go, you know, split that gene exactly, but you know, we're related by blood alcohol. There's been a lot of fun and a lot of not so fun, but we
well,
you know,
hey, yeah.
And we loves one another.
Yeah, we do. We do. Okay. And as soon as you know more information about all these fundraisers, I want it.
We will be at the next ACC meeting.
Third Wednesday.
I can't tell you because it's a secret meeting.
Isn't it the third Wednesday? Or
it's the third Wednesday. That would be the 19th of September for those of you scoring at home or even this year alone.
Place to be announced.
I don't know. I'm not on the board.
Once I get past the picture of his crotch.
His crotch.
Yours.
Oh, my crotch. Yeah, well, you know.
Mine.
You know, your crotch, my crotch, everybody else's crotch.
Yeah. It's at EJ's.
EJ's.
And this is an 8 o'clock meeting.
An 8 o'clock meeting?
Oh.
Okay, that means there's no mail-outs.
No. We stuff at the 611 in October.
I bet we do.
And we stuff it at Mary's.
Yeah, and
November.
If you've ever had it stuffed at Mary's,
naturally.
Yeah. Oh, yes, naturally. And I have a feeling, you know, we'll have some procedures going on. We'll talk with the boy of Montrose and the mother of Montrose, and I think that
Mother of Montrose has got a fundraiser going on tomorrow, or later on today, Sunday night. Sunday night at EJ's is the big spaghetti dinner for $5. At 7. And
couldn't pasta something like that up.
That's right. And this is supporting Bering also, so there's going to be a huge crowd there. So stop by and support that. I'll be there. Shameless butt plug. Yes, thank you.
Oh, we didn't clear that off.
No, you didn't. It's kind of something that big, just kind of hard to clear.
That is some butt plug, yes.
You can cough and you can, anyway.
Woo!
You can huff and puff and, anyway.
Anyway, we got to get the Hatch Kids in here.
Yeah, I appreciate your time and everybody else's time, and put another quarter in the machine and play us something funky, you DJ, you.
Yeah.
I have a dedication.
Do you now?
I do. Going old school dedication to Senator Larry Craig.
Oh, boy.
Little Romanofsky and Phillips.
Okay.
Queers in the Closet.
That we all know and love. She's made us laugh for years. We've watched as her talents unfolded and blossomed into a career. But every time you see her with her lover on TV, they call themselves partners to keep up the myth of heterosexuality. Is a former host of a talk show, as gay as the day is long. But he always sang the wrong pronoun when he opened with a song. Well, it's true, he might lose a few pounds, but he'd gain one more in me if he just wouldn't try to live the myth of heterosexuality. Queers in the Closet, in positions of power, doing a dance on thin ice. Deals with the devil, to be heroes for an hour, how long must we pay the price? There's a famous fashion designer, respected from east to west. We wear his name on our underwear, on our butts and on our chests. But the ones who buy his clothing would prefer to never see that they're also buying the myth of heterosexuality. Queers in the Closet, in positions of power, doing a dance on thin ice. Deals with the devil, to be heroes for an hour. How long must we pay the price? It's time to think twice. There's a singer who's risen to stardom. She got famous overnight. They say that she signed the contract to keep her lesbian lips sealed tight. When she feels that she's established, will she come out for all to see? Or will she perpetuate the myth of heterosexuality? Within the closet, in positions of power, turning with us on thin ice. Deals with the devil, to be heroes for an hour. How long must we It's time to think twice. Think twice about taking a free ride to freedom, while many are making demands. And we should think twice about protecting the people who think that their safety is in silence, and we'll take a stand.
Started that off with Romanofsky and Phillips' Queers in the Closet, dedicated to Senator Craig, or soon to be former Senator Craig. And that last one was from the Queerest Folk Season 2 CD, High School Confidential, by Carol Pope. Figured that was kind of an appropriate song for Hatch.
All right, welcome to Hatch Radio. This is the Hatch You segment of After Hours. And today our topic is bisexuality and gender. My name is Christopher.
Hi, I'm Oha. What's up?
I'm Laura.
And I'm Aja.
And I'm Brendan, one of the adult facilitators for Hatch.
All right, before we start off, we'd like to make an announcement about the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard of Houston. If you're ever in a bind, call them. And it's all cool. And their number is 713-529-3211. And if you're curious about finding out any more information about Hatch, visit the website, hatchyouth.org, and that phone number is
713-521-3590.
Thank you, Asha. That was a really pretty radio voice. Okay.
Thank you.
And today the topic is bisexuality and gender. We wanted to touch on some of the touchiest things in the gay community, and that's bisexuality. And the thing that kind of, you know, is part of the gay community is gender. Because that's the whole thing about homosexuality, is loving one of the same gender, and then there's bisexuality, loving both genders, all that kinds of sort of things. So, I'd like to point out the people in here, three lesbians,
a gay man.
Okay, a gay man and a bisexual man. So I think we've got a really, really good crowd to talk about something as touchy as bisexuality. So, Laura, why don't you start us off with your views?
My views on bisexuality, I don't understand it. I really don't. But, like, I'm kind of perplexed because you don't see very many older bisexual people running around. Well, I mean, you know what I'm saying. Right. And, like, I just feel like, I don't know, they get to just go back and choose to be, I don't know, I don't want to start.
Okay, I'll say something about it. I think what you were trying to say, Laura, I don't know if that's true, is that, you know, usually when people come out in their youth, there's always this sense of, or at least, you know, I got that from my parents, there's this sense of, okay, this could possibly be a phase, it could possibly be over at a certain point. And when you, you know, I guess grow to be a gay man or a lesbian or, you know, whatever your orientation is, then there's a certain amount of responsibility and sort of like, okay, this is what you are, and you've actually, you know, hung with it until you're really, really old, so I guess that must really be what you are. And I guess what Laura's trying to say is that we don't really get to meet a lot of older bisexual people, which is, I guess, one of the things that sort of grounds you in what you truly are, if you can actually, like, you know, maintain your orientation for a really long time, or it's sort of like grow out of it.
It's credit. You know, you've got entire credit to be who you are. The thing about bisexuality, and we're going to talk about when youth come out, when they first realize they have thoughts of homosexuality or of being a lesbian or being gay or whatever you may be. The thing about coming out as bisexual in the very beginning is it's safe. You can tell mommy and daddy, wait, we still might have grandkids.
Yeah.
You can still tell mommy and daddy, wait, I might have a perfect wedding. Because bisexuality is very, very safe. Now, safer than being a full-blown homosexual.
It definitely gives parents sort of like a mild amount of hope. Like, oh, he still has 50% chance to actually end up with a different gender.
Absolutely. But later, when you become involved with the gay community, and what if someone continues to be bisexual? Then it's not so safe anymore, because first off, sometimes in the gay community you're shunned because it's like you can't choose, or, you know, you haven't made up your mind. But it's also, you know, can you express yourself as a bisexual? Because sometimes when you go out, and if you're seen, when you're seen with a member of the same sex, you get a totally different vibe from the world. And when you go out with a member of the opposite sex, you get a totally different vibe. So if you're in the gay community, and let's say you're with someone of the opposite sex, you know, someone in the gay community isn't going to recognize you and be like, oh, they're an ally. They're going to see you in a heterosexual relationship, so you're outcasted. So that safety is kind of ripped away, which I think is a really, really valid point. But, you know, to touch on gender, because it's something we wanted to speak about, my views on bisexuality is love is of the soul. When I first came out when I was 15 to my mother, I said, Mom, love is about the soul. And I think I could love anyone, regardless of the gender. Here I am, almost 19, and my views haven't changed at all. Because I could love anyone, no matter the gender, no matter anything about them. But that could just be open-mindedness. Who knows? You know, I'm not the poster bisexual. Absolutely not. And the thing about bisexuality is, even though, you know, people can love both sexes, I've met people who love men just as much as they love women, who love women just as much as they love men. I have a huge preference. I am in love with women, but I could love men. Therefore, I'm bisexual. But I definitely have a preference. I definitely have a way, you know, where I swing. And that's a matter of personal opinion. And I know Aja has some really good points about this.
Woo!
I've just been waiting for the time to jump in. Now, you say you're not the poster child for bisexuality, and I would never say you are, but you are one of the very few positive sort of, I guess, image of bisexuals that I see, because honestly, I've had such negative experience with bisexuals. The bisexuals that I've met, they are indeed confused, and I admit that. And when I was first in my, I guess, going through puberty, and I was finding out about my own sort of sexual preference, I was bisexual. I was confused. So I said I was bisexual. Now, I'm not saying that that's everyone, but the majority of my experiences with people, they do have a preference for one or the other. They feel the same way about men and women, but they do only date men. Straight bisexual women that only date men and don't date women. And some bisexual men, I'm sorry, that mainly date just women or mainly date just men. Now, another thing that someone said, oh God, it slipped my mind, about what you said about being in the gay community and the straight community as a bisexual. From my experience, I associate with a lot of straight people. They see if someone can date and have sex with someone of the same gender, they're gay and that is it.
Yeah.
And some gay people, at times, myself included, see if you can go and have this societally improved relationship and have sex and date someone of the opposite gender, then you're straight. And that's it. And I think some of that is sort of close-mindedness. Some of that is sort of, you know, well, it has to be this way, it has to be this way. I don't feel that way, but I feel at the same time, I'm not really sure how I feel about bisexuality. I don't see it in a particularly negative light, but I do feel that at times it is sort of a, well, this way I feel this way, sometimes I feel this way. Like you said, you have a preference. So are you really fully, completely bisexual?
Absolutely, because I've had intimate physical, emotional, and spiritual relationships with both members of different sexes, with men and women, and with transgender people, because love to me is a very spiritual thing, and that's why I don't feel like a poster child in the gay community, because my entire reason for being who I am is I have a spiritual outlook on love, and that's how I viewed it, and that's how I do. But currently, for example, we were talking about this earlier outside about how ironic it is. I'm in a relationship right now with a lesbian, and she's, you know, her boyfriend's a bisexual man. How that works out, I won't ever know. But it does. For some reason, it clicks. And I think that's so important to realize, especially in the gay community and in the world, love doesn't have to be right. Love doesn't have to make sense. Love is love. And that can be incredibly optimistic. It can be disgustingly optimistic.
Because you are.
But that's the route that I'm taking. Because love is just love. You can't define it. You can't label it. It doesn't make sense all the time. You don't know why we fall in love with the people we fall in love with. You know, we have no idea. It's just kind of how it swings.
The people in society do.
Well, if I can jump in right now, I just want to say that I think we as humans, whether you're, you know, gay, lesbian, transgender, or any affiliation whatsoever, there's always this sense of, you know, trying to make the community what it is and define the borders of the community so that nobody, so that you can either be in or you can be out.
Absolutely.
So ultimately, when you say bisexuality, I think that a lot of problem that lesbians have is this sort of like, you know, sort of privilege thing that goes on with straight couples that gay couples don't have. You know, it's the ability to walk on the street and actually, you know, kind of maybe not really be looked at awkwardly. And I think that it's sort of a resentment to the point where they just want you to make a decision. I don't think you should make a decision. You know, my personal view is that you should be able to, again, love whoever you, you know, feel like you have a connection with. But there is a certain amount of, you know, humanity in us that just wants to, you know, limit our circle to something definitive where we can feel like we belong and the, you know, the edges aren't really fuzzy. So to a degree, our mistake is, you know, if straight people are going to exclude us, then we're going to exclude any form of straightness that comes, well, straightness or I guess heterosexuality that comes along. So we want to, you know, we want to know who we are able to affiliate ourselves with and feel comfortable with. And I think that since bisexuals just don't fit really anybody's standards, that they're kind of just ostracized by both groups. I feel like, you know, being bisexual or being transgender is just, you know, the most difficult position to be in, you know, as far as orientation. And, you know, I really, really enjoy listening to stories about people who don't fit the norm. And I think that we as a community need, you know, need to accept whatever people are telling us, because we are, you know, the prime example of, you know, saying, putting ourselves out there and having somebody say, no, that's not right. You know, that's not really what it's supposed to be. I don't really believe in what you're saying. So I think that definitely, you know, we as lesbians, transgenders, you know, gay men, everybody needs to understand that there's a certain point where you can't, you know, just say no, because you believe in this, then I'm not really going to accept you. I think that we should be the prime acceptance. We should be the prime example of acceptance, no matter what package it comes in.
I understand what you're saying, and I totally agree. But at the same time, I see why some people in the gay community, for the longest time, openly gay people, we were this sort of small community, and we were so tight together, and if you're gay, you're lesbian, whatever. And now you have this huge explosion of bisexuality. Every time you turn around, there's someone that's so openly bi, and someone that's just hopping to the gay community, and just yay. And that's great, but at the end of the day, they can go and be with a society accepted relationship. And I think that's sort of, like you said, resentment and jealousy. And I understand why some gay people feel the need to keep this safe little community known and open and close to just the gays and the lesbians.
And I totally feel you on that. And when you talk about the gay community and, you know, what the majority is in the gay community, I mean, the gay movement was started by lesbians and drag queens. Stonewall. Butch lesbians and drag queens. So first it was like, we're this and we're that. No in between, no fuzzy. But then something started happening. You know, butch lesbians started dating other butch lesbians. And then some femmes and other butch lesbians were like, wait. You know, it doesn't mean if you're gay, if you're dating a butch lesbian, you consider yourself a butch lesbian. And then we started getting fuzzy. Then we started redefining what it meant to be in the GLBT community and what it was like. And when you say bisexuals can go home at the end of the day and look normal, that is such a controversial thing, because, you know, I feel like bisexuality is a closet within a closet sometimes. When I'm out in public with my girlfriend, man, woman, and they have no idea who we are or what we stand for. What if you're out with friends and they happen to not know that you know, they can see maybe that you're dating a member of the opposite sex, so you look completely normal. So what happens when they start trash-talking homosexuals? What does a bisexual do? And so a bisexual is one of the most unseen people in this community, whereas transgendered people, you can't hide it. You can't hide someone who's going through transition. They're the most apparent people in the gay community. You walk out in public and people can tell if you're transitioning because it's so obvious. And when you're gay, you don't always have to look gay. When you're a lesbian, you don't always have to look lesbian. And so here we've got totally dramatic, and that's where it's fuzzy. You know, gay and lesbian, you don't always look gay or lesbian. And when you're bisexual, you almost never look, you know, a part of the gay community. And then you've got transgender people, and they are so, you know, something's different because you can tell they look different, and you don't understand that difference. So.
You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
That was cute.
all right.
Anyway,
anywhere between three till and three after, I have to break in and give that little, well, I can, there's a shorter spiel I can do, but...
Okay. It was wonderful.
All good.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, you have that radio voice.
Once you get used to it, you can just, you know, just sometime in the middle, just throw KPFT Houston, and you're done.
Your voice is so lovely.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's talk about gender, okay? Because in the gay community, gay men, that's men. Lesbians, that's women. Bisexuals, that's both. Transgendered, that's all over. So, you know, our topic was bisexuality and gender, so... Laura, would you like to talk to us about gender?
What about gender would you like to talk about?
Anything. What sparks your fancy?
I don't know. Give me a direction.
I can give her a direction.
Okay.
Gender related. Okay, so we have this whole idea of like butch and femme, and you know, men are supposed to be, you know, like, I don't know, you're either, you know, the woman or the man in the relationship. Mm-hmm. And it's always like this typical, you know, question that I get a lot from, you know, people when I actually come out to them. And it's like, you know, are you the girl or the man in the relationship? And I think that that's assuming that we have like a gender identity within, you know, gay relationships. I'm trying not to say they, because I don't feel like it's us against them situation.
Right.
But it definitely feels like people try to, even in gay relationships or, you know, homosexual relationships, they try to fit you in a heterosexual pattern. So within gender, Laura, what would you say, you know, trying to be more butch in order to fit in, or trying to be more femme in order to fit in?
Like, well, I just think within the lesbian community, there's, like you said, there's a pattern of a heterosexual relationship where the really feminine girls want to date butch girls, and we don't see past that at all. And I don't know. I'm just...
Well, there is some truth to that.
Yeah.
I mean, we can sit here and say as an ideal that those stereotypes are not true. And 'cause sometimes I'm a little put off when people ask me that question. I'm like, I'm a man, I date men, we're both men,
exactly.
But the flip side of that is, especially with gay men, you will often find people who fall into top-bottom relationships. I'm the top of the relationship, I'm the bottom of the relationship. And even if there's some versatility there, there's still a preference one or the other.
Yeah.
So, that given, there is some legitimacy to that type of thinking, even though the whole gender role aspect of it isn't really applicable.
I think it's just narrow.
Mm-hmm. It just limits things.
And so much of it is about labels, because it's human nature for us to put a label on something because that's how we have to understand it. The first thing we notice about people is their gender, because we have to ask, okay, what do I call them? And so when you're put into something as so different as homosexuality once was, you know, way back a few years ago when it was a totally foreign concept, now it's becoming a little bit more heard of. It's become a household, you know, topic to talk to your kids about. You know, you've got the birds and the bees, and now we're talking about homosexuals.
Right.
You know, we're raising this next generation with the concept that there is homosexuality.
Right.
And so when it comes to gender roles, that's something Aja and I have talked about so much, because I am such a femme man. In a relationship with a woman, I'm probably more femme than I am with a relationship with a man. Because when I'm with another man, it's like, oh, we're so manly and we're so butch and let's go kill some bugs. And no matter how hard I try, there's not a single butch bone in my body. I can't kill bugs for women.
Oh, God.
I'd
love to.
But I can do these things. I'm constantly talking about fashion, hair, and makeup. However, I'm always in the driver's seat. I'm always the one making most of the dishes and being the more dominant, more masculine, and kind of leading the way. Definitely being the man in the relationship.
Well, okay, I don't know. Like, I'm kind of, I guess you could call it, like, in between, I suppose. And I find myself in situations where I'm either trying to be one or the other, which I don't understand, because I'm just like a girl. I'm so girly. Like, ew, bugs.
Right.
But, you know.
I'll freaking, like, smash them with my hand. It's so bad.
I know. She's so into it.
See, that's totally not like me. I couldn't kill a bug to save my life.
I would cry.
And when it becomes like instinct situations where it's like an emergency, and Aja sees me in an emergency, immediately in an emergency, I am not the one screaming at the side, oh my God, we have an emergency. I am, the second this thing happens, I kick in, and I am the man, and I'm the provider, and I will take care of it.
And he saved me. Yeah, he totally did it, but he's still Mr. Femme. Oh my goodness, her hair, or she's wearing that, or that would go better with this, or are you sure you want to wear that? That's kind of you.
Oh, girlfriends hate me because I want to pick out their outfits for them. I tell them what doesn't match.
Well, what you just said, you're not a sexist, I know that.
Oh, absolutely.
But that is such a sexist remark to make.
Whoa.
What was the sexist remark?
In an emergency, mm-hmm. That you're the one who would come up and take care of the situation.
That is crazy.
You followed it as such that, and the masculine role,
right.
I would be the one who came in and would have a level head and take care of it, and not be the histrionic woman who was throwing her arms.
I didn't say that was the woman's role. I said I would not be the one screaming, because even with men in emergency situations, you've always got that one person who just can't handle it.
True. Right.
But no,
I'm
not
next. Next, he's going to say that he's always the one driving because women can't drive.
Oh,
No. There's not a sexist bone in my body.
I know enough of you to know that, but it sounded like a sexist remark.
I think these are just the gender roles that we're talking about.
And I'm not saying that makes it so confusing.
Yeah, I mean, even with the smallest things, you know,
I find myself saying,
we have a woman moment.
No. I gotta take my shoe off now.
No, I mean, I say things like that too, and I don't, and I feel like we attribute strong and strength to men, and we attribute, you know, like, I need to be taken care of to women. And that's, you know what, I think it's one of those things where it's going to be supremely difficult to get rid of, because
is it necessarily wrong? That's the other thing.
Well, I don't believe in, I mean, I believe in, like, you know, cavalry and being a gentleman, but I do believe that there needs to be, like, a stop to that. Like, I don't believe that if a girl is hitting a guy isn't... I mean, I know that, you know, we have these standards when who's stronger and who's the underdog and who needs to, you know, control the situation, you know, like an adult dealing with a child. You know that the adult is responsible. Therefore, maybe if you're in a relationship with a man and a woman, you know that the guy is possibly stronger, not always the situation, but he's the one who has the responsibility of not hurting too much.
Right.
But to me, you know, this whole idea of we need to touch women with the petal of a rose and you can only, you know, kind of pat them a little, it's just, you know, it just includes everything that we think gender is responsible for. If you say, you know, I wouldn't act like a woman or whatever. I'm joking.
I'm just giving
you a hard time for it.
I think that a lot of that is instinct. A lot of that is sort of a natural thing.
It's because we grew up with it.
No, honestly, if we're going to talk about gender roles, I mean, how is it that women are constantly talking about their feelings? That's something like, I don't connect to. Constantly, it's, oh, well, you know, that makes me feel this way. And it's
God, I feel so
I think men talk about it more than they're given credit to talk about
it. I agree.
No, well, because it's not in social situations. Most of the time, it's not socially acceptable for men to talk about their feelings.
Well, it rarely is.
I cannot come out to one of my buddies and be like, oh, man, yesterday I cried for like an hour. And I ate a pint of ice cream and watched a chick flick. I can't say
that. That's different. That's a different topic on emotional discussions and what goes on with guys. It may not be the same for women, but I do think they talk about their emotional lives with other men. It may not be the same topic.
I just think it's different. Like, I believe that they talk about their feelings. I just don't think, like when we're in the car, I'm like, I feel really disconnected. Like, I don't think like a guy drives down the road way. And they're like, hey, Tom.
No, this is how it is.
Tom, I feel disconnected.
You'll be like, do you need a plug?
It's just one of those things. No, I mean,
we're trying to say that they talk about it. It's just not like we talk about it.
Yeah, it's a different
just because
way.
The interaction between women and men are just different.
Socially, women can be more emotional.
It's socially acceptable for women to be emotional. So I think maybe if you grow up with people sort of hushing the way, you know, you need to not be such a girl. You know, boys don't cry. That kind of thing is just. I mean, it's just. Seriously, I mean, if you grow up with the idea that men have to be strong and that women are supposed to be, you know, pensive and, oh, let's cross our legs and sort of like waves. Just smile a little.
Princess Diana.
I love you. It's beautiful. No, I mean, if you grow up that way, how are you else supposed to think? I mean, if you have a mother who's telling you, you know, you need to stay inside of your house for the rest of your life because there's a war going on outside. I mean, I'd believe my mom. I'd be crazy, but I'd believe her, you know. I just don't know. There's just so many things that we grow up with, and it's really hard to expect people to, you know, all of a sudden be different to what they have, you know, intrinsically known their entire life. It's too hard.
It's very much nature versus nurture.
Yeah.
It's kind of a flip of a coin. You get what you get and that's how you grow up. And it sucks when 20 years later you're like, wait, it shouldn't be this way. Then it's like, well, there's nothing you can do because everyone beside you has learned the same
thing. It's the default heterosexual. It's like you wake up and everybody says, oh, so when are you going to get a boyfriend if you're a girl? Or when are you going to get a girlfriend if you're a guy? When are you going to get married? It's a question and you just thinking, well, if people are saying that this is the default, that I'm supposed to act a certain way because I'm a man,
right,
or I'm supposed to be heterosexual, then how is it that the first, you know, first gay person, it's like it's like evolution. We just came out. One day, the egg came, and it just popped out a homosexual.
Or within a gay context, are you the butch or the femme?
Yeah.
Oh goodness. Okay, Aja, I know you've got something to say about this, because you and I have, we've butchered the butch versus the femme.
That's right.
Paradigm.
Absolutely. Every
time I come out to someone as a lesbian, the first thing they ask, or I tell them, you know, about my girlfriend, they say, who's the girl, who's the boy?
Yeah, I hate that question.
I am so sick of that. At work, I dress very down. It's like, I'm at work, there's nobody here. And so my manager talked to me, and he said, well, you're the butch, right? I say, no, I'm not. I'm the femme. And he says, well, you know, you sort of dress down, people would assume that you're the butch. Or if I'm with someone who's always seen me, you know, sort of dressed up and girly, they assume, well, okay, you're with some big butch chick named Bertha, and she drives some 18-wheeler, you know.
They call her Bert and stuff. Hey, Bert.
You know,
where's Masha?
And so people sort of assume from the way someone looks that they're this way, they're this way. And that is totally different.
I had to shave my head to get a little credibility. Hello.
I had to cut off lots of hair.
For gay men, sometimes if you're a bottom, that doesn't necessarily mean you're in a femme role.
Not at
exactly.
all.
Exactly.
Or if you're the top, it doesn't necessarily mean you're the guy in the relationship.
Right. No, I've seen some of the most passive men be tops, and that's just what they are, and you can't do too much about it. And when it comes to the butch versus the femme paradigm, I mean, like, Aja, I've seen you girly, I've seen you dolled up, but you're more butch than I am. It's just a fact. You could probably kill a bug faster than I could, and that's just how it is. And to me, that doesn't make any sense. I'm not. We've already tried to figure it out, and we couldn't.
Mm-hmm. I love how you just established that all women are like afraid of bugs.
I'm joking.
I can't help it.
I'm terrified of bugs. There's no bug I haven't killed. I've hunted animals for sport. No bug I haven't killed.
Poor Bambi.
What? You hunted animals?
It's my father and his culture, and it's. I don't do it anymore, but I have done it.
I have never hunted an animal.
I would.
Does that make me a woman?
No, it does not.
But you know what?
We love Bambi.
We don't want him to die.
That's another thing. I couldn't help it. I was like 13 years old. Anyway, but the thing is, if you're
13,
back to the butch femme
with a rifle
thing. Yes, with a musket. You know what? And if y'all knew me in relationships, I am so soft.
Aww.
I am so soft, like, and Chris has seen me when something happened with my car. I was like, and I was calling my ex on the phone, like, what do I do? And I was just, that's not me. I am so big and brass. I will fight anyone. I will buck up to anyone. But you know what? In relationships, I'm so soft. I'm so passive. I don't like to be in control. It's baby, where do you want to go? You know, what would you like to eat? Do you want me to iron your wife beater?
Oh, God.
You know, let me go out and get you some Doc Martens. You know, that's how I am in relationships.
What? I am definitely on. I think that, I don't know, I'm just such an equality freak. If somebody opens the door, I'll be like, no, it's my turn. So I go open the door.
Equality
I just,
is like the way
I feel
go.
Like, I don't know, I feel like equality just has to, I don't know, it's just, it's such a, I stretch it so much, you know, equality and listening to people and, you know, accepting the fact that you might possibly be wrong and that, you know, everything that we're talking about could be a complete illusion and then, you know, in 25 years, somebody could just come up with an amazing theory and everything that we're saying is obsolete. I'm okay with that. So that's why when people say, you know, butch, femme, try to, you know, categorize, label, I can say you can do whatever you want. I think that in a really, you know, short period of time, we're going to know what it is. And I think people are going to be comfortable with it. I think gender is just something that we need to learn how to be comfortable with in all of its spectrums,
well,
in all of its abilities.
Some people really do fit that I'm butch, I'm femme paradigm.
And enjoy playing the roles. I love playing that feminine role.
There's nothing wrong with that.
It kind of sucks to not have a role.
Let's talk
don't you feel
about
like
that.
A bisexual?
Yeah. That could be confusing, I guess.
Not having a certain thing to call yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Go for it, Laura.
Yeah,
I don't have anything to say. It's confusing. Like I hate it when this one girl calls me a tweener.
I like the term tweener. I used to call myself a tweener.
No, I hate it. I dislike
what's
a it.
Yeah, what's you're a in between. You're not butch. You're not femme. You're right in between.
That's like saying that.
I
love androgynous people.
Oh God,
girl,
yes.
Me
hello.
Too.
I do appreciate androgyny, but like still, it's kind of lame to not.
I have an issue, and it's that the two ladies that are attached to my chest area are a bit large, so it's impossible
you can see me from a mile. We'd be like, yeah, that's a girl.
Yeah.
And you have long, pretty hair.
Even with the biggest breasts, you can be androgynous or look like the other.
I mean, I seriously, one of the things that I find, what we were talking about, is that you don't want to be categorized, but you do want to be recognized, you know?
Yeah,
you want to be able to walk down the street and have somebody, you know, if you're a lesbian, you want to be, you know, you want to see somebody looking at you and be like, yeah, she's gay, I could do something there.
We were about this, and we were like, before I cut off my hair, and like, she shaved a little piece of her head, it's hard to get street cred.
It's hard.
Like, it's hard.
It is.
I literally come out to people and they've debated whether or not I'm a lesbian.
No.
I literally tell them,
been there.
I'm a lesbian, and they'll be like, no.
You're too pretty to be gay.
Yeah. Or I came out to my mother, I swear. And I say, Mom, you know, I think I'm a lesbian. She's like, but sweetheart, you have long hair. And I'm like, yes, I do. And that just makes me heterosexual all of a sudden. So I told her, so if I just shaved my head, that would immediately make me a lesbian. And she just thought about it. So I'm guessing she was just trying to...
And see, again, that's a label. Labels will be the death of us. But, so, I mean, that something is totally confusing. And it's confusing. Like, Laura, I totally feel you when you're confused on, am I the butch, am I the femme? I have that conversation with myself every day. Because every day I'm a totally different person. It's like, I'm so confusing. And, you know, what do you be? But every day it's a different story. And every day you can be someone new. You don't always have to scream when a bug's around. You don't always have to butch up when there's an emergency. You don't have to always have a firm handshake. I mean, it's okay just to be sometimes.
You know, I think that's the key.
Yeah.
I think you let people play to their strengths and their wants. And if you're in the type of relationship with your give and take, then your strengths, your wants, your who you are at the moment is going to change. And
yeah.
If you've got simpatico with the person you're with, and you're really on the same level, you'll be able to pick up on those cues and do those things for each other. I think that's really the answer. And for some people, it is. You know, maybe I want to be the butch guy, or maybe I want to be the femme role, or all the time. But I think closer to reality is that we all kind of go through these waves at different times and different situations. It's just a matter of listening and letting people do that.
Yeah. It makes a sense to be versatile. I mean,
it doesn't
make sense to just because people are trying to, you know, lead you a certain direction that you go to against something that you actually enjoy in order to sort of just be like okay with everybody else.
And don't let one part of you define you or make up who you are. You are more than just your sexuality.
Right. And the key to it, one of the biggest things about having to be okay with yourself is to be okay with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And to be okay with other people, the biggest thing is to be okay with yourself. Because, you know, when it's like with when people talk about love, once you love yourself fully is when you can love someone else. Once you love someone else is when you can love yourself fully.
Sounds like such a cliche, but seriously, I truly, truly believe that.
Absolutely.
Because you can't let yourself... Just imagine if you sometimes I don't feel the greatest about my body. And to the degree where, you know, I can't, you know, be intimate with somebody without constantly wondering how they're looking at me, so I don't enjoy myself. So when I reach the second where I truly, you know, love my body and I love the way that I look no matter what, that is the true moment when I know that, you know, my fears with this other person or with my friends are going to go away. So I think that it has to do with gender. If you're okay with your gender, then you will have no reason to doubt yourself in the middle of a conversation. You will have no reason to feel bad or worry about somebody else thinking something inappropriate about you. You will be okay with yourself. And once that is a true reality, you won't care what other people are going to think about you.
Right, and it's about reaching that comfort. And sometimes it has to be an everyday pep talk to be okay with who you are. Because, you know, you get tainted when you go out into the world and, you know, you go to school and you go to work and it's like everyone seems so normal and here you are and you feel like you're bending every little thing that you can be. And it's a daily reminder. Just be who you are, be who you want to be, and be who you came to be. And it's okay if you're different tomorrow. It's okay if you were totally different yesterday. There's no law that says we have to be the same people every single day. There's no law to say that Laura has to be butch 24/7.
You don't have to, girl.
You know,
you don't have to.
If you're feeling butch on a Friday, or even just for a minute on a Friday, it doesn't matter who you are on a Sunday.
I go through bitchy phases.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, we were just talking about that outside. About y'all were talking about the energy that I gave off, and it's totally different from 2 weeks ago. Has anything changed with me? No, I was just feeling different, you know. And things change.
And part of it's the chemistry of whoever you're with.
Right. Yeah.
Oh God, yeah.
I know that when I'm around sort of, you know, certain heterosexuals that might be awkward towards my orientation, I tone it down so much, as opposed to what I would say, what I would do when I'm with other people. I love the idea that you can just sort of be versatile and be whoever you want to be.
Well, okay, like, when I'm with, say, like, a heterosexual person or something, I feel so, like, masculine, like, if that makes
sense. It's just so, it makes sense.
And
I
then when
too.
I'm with her, it's like, she's like, oh, you're a baby. And I'm like, oh, see, it just changed. The person you're with just totally, like, changes, or maybe, I don't know. It just changes.
I think we tend to look for people who we're most similar to.
Yeah.
When it comes to long-term relationships, or when it comes to coupling with someone, or even your close-knit friends, I think we're attracted to people who we see in them what we like about ourselves.
Birds of a feather, baby.
And I think that's true. I think that I know there's been different sociological experiments and about, you know, whether that's true or opposites attract. And if I'm remembering correctly from my school days, it's birds of a feather tend to rule out more.
Absolutely. That totally reminds me, all of you are saying really, really beautiful things, and it reminded me of an event that's going on tomorrow for Hatch, tomorrow is Sunday, and hooray, and our program tomorrow night for Hatch, we're having a poetry slam.
Oh, nice.
Which is so fun, so cool. It's going to be our first one that we've done.
I love it.
And I think everyone should come and share their poetry and just speak, because there's 5 people in this room now, and we have such beautiful things to say. Imagine what it's going to be like tomorrow when we have tons of people. So tomorrow night at 6 o'clock from 6 to 9 at Hatch, we're having a poetry slam. Be there. Speak
or
there.
Be square.
Be there or be square.
We love square people. I love them. I love their corners.
Square people.
They're beautiful.
L7. Corners are fabulous.
I like of the 90 degrees.
I like of the 90 degrees.
Awesome.
Yes, poetry slam Hatch. Be there tomorrow.
Absolutely.
We love it.
Okay, so we were still talking about the gender thing, or...
Right, then totally interrupted to talk about Hatch.
No. It reminded you.
It was an excellent plug.
Right.
I really like what someone said about when you're with someone, that changes. I noticed when I would be in relationships with very, very femme women, I would automatically sort of take over that, like, butch role immediately and become dominant. And I realized I really didn't like it, and that wasn't me. But when I was with them, or when I'm with someone who I can tell sort of just doesn't really have it all, or isn't really just sort of taking control, I feel the need to automatically step up and sort of take over. Not really take over, but sort of take control of the situation, because
you're pretty sexist. No, I'm playing.
I am a woman.
Now we're gonna have to just like
see.
Watch
okay,
it.
You can say it, and it's okay because you're a woman. But because I identify different, when I say something like that, I'm sexist.
Yeah, nobody said you were sexist.
I'm playing.
I said you could miss.
Christopher is not a sexist. He is not. I repeat, not a sexist. And my voice, like, I'll just put, like, you know, like, commercial airline voices. The exits are to your left. Christopher is not a sexist.
Right. Okay, but anyways, I totally feel you. What we were saying, when you're with someone who's totally femme, you're totally butch. That's because there's a balance to everything. No matter what you do, no matter what your belief is, yin, yang, karma, universe, there's a balance to everything. If someone's on your left side, you're going to be on the right side, you know what I mean? And that's why I don't like dating butch women, you know, no matter how they identify, because I want to be femme on my own terms. When I'm with someone who's really, really butch, I feel totally femme, because that's the balance, because someone's so butch, I feel like I have to balance it out. And that's them with incredibly femme women. And, you know, there is a balance to everything with the people who you're around, which is why I dig equality.
When you say butch, do you mean butch in their manner of dress? Because I know some butch women that are so passive, and they're so soft, and
are we talking about butch the way that they look? Because I think she's, I think we're talking about, like, an all-encompassing thing.
You mean the dominant personality?
It's just about the energy. energy, just about the energy, because, you know, femme women sometimes can be, you know, very hard, very strong, very, very butch, because they've had to fight, you know, because they're pretty women. They had to be very strong to let people understand that they were going to be walked all over. Sometimes when that energy is too high, and I also have that very strong energy, it clashes. So automatically, with, you know, with regardless of, you know, who's making a choice, someone's going to have to, like, chill out, you know, and that happens sometimes. It's a very big reality. We know when you're around certain people, whether it's friends, whether it's lovers, whether it's partners, whether it's coworkers, someone, there's got to be a balance.
Somebody's going to say, I'm sorry first, I guess that's how it sounds. I don't know. I like the idea of equality. I stretch it so much because, I don't know. I like the whole, you know, butch and femme thing. I think it's cutes and dandies, but I think that we should be able to identify when we're doing things consciously and when we're doing things unconsciously. If you feel like you're, you know, lighting your personality and making yourself more passive in order to please somebody who is a lot more dominant, then I don't think you should do that either. Oh. I think that you should definitely find a person who you can just sort of mesh with and definitively just, you know, create a moment where both people can be themselves and both people are comfortable. So you really need to test people out. You know, if somebody makes you feel like you need to, you know, play light for a while, I don't think that's right either.
Yeah, and most of the conversation has been in the context of a long-term relationship.
Yeah.
But there are times when you just feel like you want someone who's really, really butch and is going to take control.
Yeah.
And go out for just that.
That makes sense.
You know what I say? So it's not really, I don't want to say casual hookup, but it's you sometimes you may have that need or that want or that desire to experience something in a certain way.
Yeah.
So you go out and look for the experience rather than the long-term relationship.
Absolutely, I get that. I recently went out with someone, and she is so butch. Like, she looks like she could... She looks like a big lumberjack. And I was expecting her...
Obviously talking about me.
No! Oh, please. Whatever. No, this chick
Laura,
is like,
as you cannot see her, she's just wearing, like, you know, chaps and a big old plaid shirt.
No hair. No, I left anyways. My axe outside.
tell me about your butch lover.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I was
sorry.
Not yet, but I'm working on it. But I she looks so butch. And, of course, I was thinking she's this big butch chick. She, you know, can outdrink any dude, all that. And so we get together, and she's not really like that. I mean, she has sort of a dominant personality, but she's more into equality. Like, we're going to split this check, and, you know, this and this, and not really, you know, mannish with the big boots and the Levi's or Wranglers and the, you know, flannel or anything. Yeah, she was all about equality, and I'm sitting there like trying to get her to sort of, you know, take control and everything, and she's just sort of, you know, just equality, and that's fine. But I was looking for this big butch chick to totally dominate me. Well, not totally dominate me, but, you know, sort of be dominant. And so there are expectations like that, and it is nice to have someone take control, and, you know, you just lay it back and enjoy the ride.
Well, sometimes you can play fantasy roles in a long-term relationship where you can say, you know, let's do this. That's part of being creative about having a sexual life. You can get into those kind of roles situationally depending on what your moods are. You know, straight couples do it, gay couples, everyone does it. So, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think that's all about communication, too.
No, but I'm saying it's not all about that, but just personally, even with friends, you have someone, if you have two dominant people, there's going to be a big power struggle. And if you have two very passive people, nothing's going to get done. So
is it always true, though?
No,
like, I don't think that's true either, because the closest person I have to me is my best friend and roommate, and he's a man. And we, at times, we can be the manliest men you have ever seen. But see us on a Tuesday and we're sitting around drawing pictures of women, you know, and like dresses and pretty things like that. And it's just because of how the energy flows. And it's because, you know, we've known each other for such a long time. I could one day feel like being so butch, and he could feel like being totally femme, and it works because of the energy. So does that mean when two people are very masculine, there's a power struggle? No, not at all. When it means that two people are in a passive mood that particular day, doesn't mean nothing gets done? No. But see, that goes back to how I think about there's a balance to everything. There's always going to be someone who's just a little bit less passive. There's always going to be someone who's just a little bit more masculine, and something is done and something established. But, you know, what you're saying about your lover or your partner, your lady friend,
who's
the
person.
Butch.
I like that.
I mean, no, I mean, so many bitch women that I have dated, they seem so butch. Like, one time I dated this cop, she was so butch. I mean, she would work in a jail. She handcuffed people, and I was like, oh, she, you know, she can take care of herself. I met her family within 2 weeks, and she was all like, oh, I just have so many feelings for you. And I was like, where is this coming from? I thought you were a butch lesbian,
creepy.
You know, come on. And, I mean, because people are totally different, and that's the same with me. I dress very, very masculine. I give off very masculine energy. But when I say hello, I'm like, oh, hello, sweetie. You know, how are you doing? And it's totally different.
That's so fun.
So, you know, when you project something, that doesn't always mean that's what, you know, what mood you're in today or who you are entirely. I mean, right now you're wearing, you know, work clothes. Does that define who you are? Not at all. But that will be the judgment that some of us may see.
Mm-hmm.
So judgment and labels go into a lot about gender and sexuality. When we, you know, to kind of backtrack our ways to bisexuality, labels have so much to do with that, because we have so many misconceptions and assumptions about what bisexuality is, who bisexuals are, and what they're doing here. And, you know,
whether they really exist is always a question that I find ridiculous. I mean, of course they're telling you things, so you might as well believe them, you know?
Bisexuality, fact or fiction.
I love how even I'm saying they when I'm bisexual.
Well, they're kind of queer.
Yeah, that's
halfway queer.
Very clever.
No, totally queer. No,
I believe that. I believe
Aja,
that.
You know this about me. I'm not halfway queer. I am as queer as they can get.
As a $3 bill.
I've never heard that.
Yeah,
before.
I've never heard that either.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. Just a dream right there.
Anyways,
yes,
no,
I have an old soul.
No, because you're bisexual doesn't mean you're halfway anything. I'm not halfway anything. I'm an extremist. Everything I do it extreme to the max. I mean, you walked into my house, and my bathroom cabinet, I have rainbow Band-Aids. I mean, I am just too queer. And right. And I mean, you've seen the
and I'm not like that at all,
car,
and I'm a lesbian, you know?
right. And it's totally cool, and it doesn't matter. Just I mean, I don't want to sound too optimistic and like a hippie, but just like do what you want to do and be who you want to be, even if it's just for a day, even if it's for a minute, a millisecond, if you want to be butch.
Well,
you know, be butch when someone's not.
I was reading about this earlier before the show, and I wrote it down. It says that Sigmund Freud was one of the believers that bisexuality is a common feature in every single human, and that every single human has a certain disposition that we prefer one sex over the other. As he would say, basically, that lesbians prefer women over men, but there is a certain amount of attraction whether or not we accept it. And I don't know, I think I know that a lot of gay people go through this sort of like bisexual phase before they come out.
It's
as
like the foot out
men.
The door of the closet.
Exactly.
You know, and Hatch, over the years I've seen it many times where a youth will come as a friend of the GLBT community,
right.
And then they'll come out after a period of time, oh, well, I'm bisexual.
Yeah.
And then they'll come out, oh, well, then they make the decision they're lesbian or
full-blown homo.
Okay. Or straight. But that, unfortunately, that detracts from people who really are
bisexual.
And in the back of your mind, when you hear someone who is bisexual,
you're thinking, okay, when is the actual thing going to come along?
Right. And I think that maybe that's because, I don't know, maybe straight people and homosexuals have that difficulty because we know who we are.
Yeah.
And we're not that bisexuals don't, it's just that we know that this is who we are, and I can't.
And it's unique. And, it's one thing.
Yeah, and I'm not going to be attracted to a woman. I'm not going to have sexual relationships with a woman. I'm not going to have a long-term relationship as a partner with a woman.
Yeah.
And straight guys, straight women, heterosexuals feel the same way. They don't understand the gay thing. So maybe that's why those two camps have a problem with bisexuals.
Right. It's a hard thing to wrap your mind around. And what you were saying about, you know, everyone being, you know, having those feelings, whether they accept or not. That's how I view it. Every time I have been in a relationship with someone, I've always waited for it to come out as bisexual. I'm like, come on, say it. Say you're bisexual. And that's beside my
huge... Now, being with women.
Yes.
That's so right. Interesting.
Every single person, except for the person I'm currently dating now, has at some point in time in our relationship, man or woman, at some point in time they've said, I'm bisexual. Now, I don't hold it up to them, even though I have a strong advantage and preference for bisexuals because I understand them. My view, the way I look at it, and this may never change, and this is, I've always seen it, I think everyone is bisexual. I think Ashley, you're making it now.
I'm
like,
not.
However, and we've even talked about this. Okay, everyone, hypothetically, if y'all met the person of your dreams, everything you'd ever looked for, every feeling you'd ever wanted to feel with a person, but let's say it was a man, or let's say it was a woman, would you completely reject and deny that just because of the gender? Does that say that any person could walk in? You can meet the person of your dreams tomorrow, but would you reject them if you were a lesbian just because they're a man, if you're a gay man just because it was a woman? That's the way that I see it, and that's a personal opinion.
Okay, if I could say something, just one second. Idealistically, I would say yes. You know, like, I would not try to define it, you know, because of their gender. But the thing is that I, as a lesbian, view women as the holders of my ideal, sort of like... my factors, I guess, or my saying, like, their characteristics are what I find ideal. The perfect person for me is a woman because they hold all the characteristics that I find perfect. Totally. Now, what I'm saying is that if a man came in and he had all the characteristics that I found, you know, perfect, it's still not complete. You know what I mean? Because as a lesbian, I feel like women are the 100% and men could probably achieve a 20. So...
I feel you.
Ultimately, I feel like bisexuality exists in certain people. And maybe people have certain tendencies and preference, but when you are a lesbian, I feel like you are a lesbian. And I don't know. I understand. Like, I'm open to the idea that maybe one magical day there's going to be a perfect man.
Right, right.
I don't know
but
how it's going
to
happen.
The need to have sex with a woman wouldn't go
it doesn't
away, though.
Work. Exactly.
And I think that's... That's how I feel too.
You enjoy a certain you know thing about men that women just simply do not have.
Right.
They do not have it in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
And you find men to be the ideal situation.
Right.
So if you have had this experience and you've been with men before, and then you know a woman is presented to you, you won't think that she's perfect.
Right.
You won't ever think that she's perfect.
Even though your situation, I would like to ideally say yes too.
Yeah. Right.
But in the back of
it
my mind,
beautiful.
It's simply not what you want. I have met the most beautiful men, but it's simply just not what I want.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I was in the mood for a woman. But that's to say that hypothetical situation is to say that in a part of us, you know, it is. We all just want love, and we all just
yeah.
want to be happy. So deep, deep down, I don't think there's discrimination in our soul or preference in our soul even. But just to wrap it up a bit and just kind of to, you know, wrap up our show, bisexuality and gender. We all have really, really different opinions and different views. But we all kind of came to agreement, you know, all nodding each other's heads, you know, even when it was, you know, not something we, you know, thought as conventional. So, let's go around and introduce ourselves one last time, and then we'll, you know, kind of take it down.
Hello, listeners. I'm Aja.
I'm Brendan, facilitator for Hatch, and I want to give a shout-out to Jose in case he happens to listen to this.
Yay.
Are we doing shout-outs? Can I do my shout-out?
I never do a shout-out. I do a shout-out tonight.
I want to give a shout-out to my best friend, Elisa. I want to give a shout-out to my new friend, Renee. And I'd like to give a shout-out to everybody at work. Hi.
My turn?
Yeah.
I don't have anyone to give shout-outs to, so I'm more...
You can give a shout-out to me.
Oh, yeah. I love you.
Thank you. Likewise.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. No, I said likewise after that.
Oh, whatever.
Just, yeah. Hey.
All right. Lover squirrel?
I don't need to do a shout-out. Hey, world. Yeah, there you go.
And you're Oha.
Right. And, oh, my name is Oha. And that's pronounced Oha. Oha. There you go.
Oha.
Oha. Oha. I'm from Venezuela. Viva Venezuela. Shout out to all Venezuelans.
All right.
There we go.
There you go. You found your friend. All right. And I'm Christopher, and since I'm bisexual, we don't have friends. So no shout outs over here.
You have the most friends.
Alienated
all women.
Oh my. People can date 100% of the population.
Yeah.
How awesome is that?
That's pretty
Wait,
awesome.
No. 100. No. Let's exclude children. If you are a woman, thank you. And let's exclude, let's say...
The people that were thinking
older
that.
Yes. Wrong. No.
Bad. Cool. Bad listener.
But yeah, thank you so much cool. for listening in.
Well, it's been a pleasure. This Yay. Has been Hatch Radio.
We love you.
Oh my God.
What?
All right, I have to pull our mics down quickly. Coming up is going to be Gigi, and we'll put a little music in your ear. A little Sophie B. Hawkins, Beautiful Girl. This is KPFT Houston After Hours. With Sophie B. Hawkins.
Yes, it was.
Girl.
Yes, it was. And you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, right here on KPFT Houston 90.1 FM.
Oh, we got to do it another 10 minutes anyway.
Well, I know, but we had a couple of quickies at the beginning of the show. After Hours Quickies. That means we have a couple of groups in for about 10 minutes to talk about what they're up to. And we didn't get a chance to talk about events going on in the community. So we're going to do that right now, quickly. One thing going on with the Imperial Court of Houston, ICOH. Coming up Wednesday, September the 5th, is the weekly jukebox show. However, this one's going to be a little bit different. It's called Back to Drag School Special. And it's being put on by Imperial Prince Jimmy Carper. Ta-da! And
good grief, they gave you a title.
Yeah, I know.
And when are you going to run for Empress?
Nah, never. Grand Prince Royale Craig Farrell. And eventually, Imperial Princess Judy Reeves. It's 9 p.m. Wednesday, September the 5th at Mary's, naturally. And it's featuring some of Eartha Quake's favorites, as we remember her on the day Tony was born 40 years ago. Don't bother with your music. We have it. It is a jukebox show after all. Just come on out and have some fun with the ICOH gang. That's going to be a lot of fun. So, you want to be a drag queen. And think you've got what it takes to become the next big queen. Come show us what you've got at the Closet Ball 2007, to be held Saturday, September the 29th at EJ's Bar, 9 p.m. This is being put on by Gemini Empress Ginger Vitus and Mercury Empress 27, Miss Eva Storm. Then, let's see, something else going on. Kai Fox is holding a benefit for Camp Hope at Tony's Corner Pocket, Sunday, September the 2nd at 7 p.m. He has asked help in raising money for this wonderful organization. So, Carrie Christopher is going to be there helping Kai out. And I know that Camp Hope is an organization that is near and dear in the hearts of everyone. So helping out with that show is going to be fun for her. And let's see. Here's that Craig thing that I printed it out for later.
That cup is hot. I'm sorry.
Sorry. Yeah. Yeah, the cup is hot.
Wish I could tell you how old he is.
Well, doesn't matter.
Well, if you want to find out, if you haven't seen who the cop is and what he looks like, you go to thesmokinggun.com and click on the archive. And scroll down a little bit, you'll find the story. And they got a picture of him next to the mugshot of Craig.
Ooh. Yes, he is hot. Ooh. Houston Women's Professional Night is back Wednesday, September the 5th, 2007. Thanks for all who joined us for the first Women's Wednesday. Had a great happy hour with lots of faces we haven't seen before. 1415 will again be the host venue for this month's happy hour. This beautiful Montrose hotspot brings a mix of style, art, and elegance, occupied with a breathtaking view of downtown from their amazing rooftop patio. Women's Wednesday will bring you a chance to network with other professional women from many different fields throughout Houston. Our goal is to create a space that you can learn about the community, all the community has to offer, while socializing in a happy hour setting with light food, light music, and light drink prices. Community activity for the month. Wine sommelier Janice Frago will host a free wine tasting featuring five varieties. The Women's Festival will again be on hand. His sisters will be offering pre-sale for the decadent dessert, along with other women-centered groups. That's 1415 California, first Wednesday of every month from 6 until 10:30 p.m. And, let's see. RMCC, Resurrection Metropolitan Community Church, is hosting its third casino night on Saturday, September the 8th, 2007, at 7 p.m. at the Hornberger Center, in the Medical Center near Holcomb in Maine. Tickets are $50 and includes dinner and desserts. With your ticket, you can also pick up some chips to play your favorite casino games. The entertainment part of the evening will feature Martha Wash. Can you imagine that? Martha Wash, the original voice for so many gay anthems like It's Raining Men, Strike It Up, and Gonna Make You Sweat. There's also going to be a silent auction. Queer Casino Night benefits Resurrection MCC as well as Legacy Community Health Services and the Montrose Counseling Center. You can purchase your tickets through RMCC website. That would be dubcubed.resurrectionmcc.org. Goodness, another drag thing here. Oh, this is kind of clever. Our friend Jim Crawford, who put on the
benefit for us.
Benefit for After Hours, yes. He is the producer and owner of Niceties Productions. Isn't that sweet? I mean, that's just so Jim Crawford, Niceties, because he's really a nice guy. Proudly presents Miss Houston Drag Contest. So you think you can drag. Woo! I just did that one, didn't I?
That sounds familiar.
Yes. But it had a different date. Wait a minute. No, that's something else. So you want to be a drag queen. That's Closet Ball 2007. This is a contest. Miss Houston Drag Contest. So you think you can drag. That's Saturday, October 6th, a whole month away, at EJ's Bar and Grill, 2517 Ralph Street, from 8:30 until 11 in the main show bar. All performers must bring two numbers for the competition. So we'll be talking.
I love how they say that. The main show bar.
Yeah, like there's another one. Duh.
It's like, just try to make it sound like it's a classy bar.
Well, they do have marble in there now.
Isn't that hard on the knees?
Oh. It is on mine. The Sisters Bouton proudly present That's What Friends Are For, Sunday, September the 2nd. We talked a little bit about this earlier at EJ's. This is a $5 donation, a direct benefit for Bearing Support Network through Rain 23 of Arisa's. This is the spaghetti dinner, served at 5 o'clock and a benefit show at 7. So, be there because we're gonna. Well, I am. What have you got over there?
Hate Bias Crime Survivor Support Group. The Montrose Counseling Center provides services to anyone who is a survivor of any bias-related crime, regardless of immigration status. The crime committed against you does not have to be based on sexual orientation or gender identity, and you do not have to report the crime to police in order to participate. The group meets on Wednesdays from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the Montrose Counseling Center, 401 Brainerd Street, second floor.
Bernard
Brainerd.
I'm sorry.
B-R-A. Branard.
Yes.
Whatever. Participants may join at any time, but we're asking for a 12-week commitment once you join.
My goodness.
Intake is required for entry into the group if you're not a current MCC client. A brief assessment by facilitator is required prior to attending group. You must be 21 years of age to participate. Fees are determined based on client circumstances using grant funding or a sliding fee scale. Grant eligibility will determine during intake. Group is not eligible for insurance, Medicare, or Medicaid. The goal of the group is sharing the dynamics and origins of hate crime and bias, resolving difficult feelings of shame, guilt, and anger, learning about the nature of hate crime and bias, altering the experiences of shame, guilt, and anger towards more manageable feelings, and reestablishing connections with others and gaining a support network, letting go and saying goodbye. To join this group, contact Melanie Morrison at 713-529-0037, extension 306, or you can go to MontroseCounselingCenter.org for more information on this and other services provided by the Counseling Center.
Okay, I've got a couple of more. Because next Friday, September the 7th, at the BRB, there's going to be a show at 7:30. Well, actually, food at 7:30 and a show at 8 o'clock because it is the 25th anniversary of Jackie Evelyn Thorne. Jack Adams created Jackie Evelyn Thorne 25 years ago. Wow. Woo. So that is a direct benefit for the PWA Holiday Charities. And Thursday, September the 13th, Bob Skinner from Arisa's will be hosting a gallery opening / auction at the Eastman Gallery, 1110 North Post Oak Road, number 310, benefiting Legacy Community Health Services through Arisa's Coronation 24. The gallery opening will feature works by many well-known Houston artists, some of which are donating works for the auction. Come join us for cocktails, browse the show, and bid on the auction items. It will be a fun evening mixing and meeting new interesting people. Put this date on your calendars. That's Thursday, September the 13th. At the Eastman Gallery, 1110 North Post Oak Road. And those folks are really nice over there. They did the same thing for ICOH, and we made a passel of money. Mm-hmm. We did.
A what?
Passel.
Passel.
Yes.
What happened? You replaced your Dick of the Day calendar with a Word of the Day calendar?
My Dick of the Day calendar cannot be replaced. Nor will it ever.
Yeah, your Dick of the Day calendar is so old, some of those people aren't around anymore.
Well, but pictures of their dicks are, so it doesn't matter. What have you got? You got one more thing over there, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Let's
at least one more thing.
Yeah, I'm going to talk to the Montrose Counselor here. Give me the thing on hate crimes and food.
Sorry. Well, I give you the more serious ones.
Because hate crimes and food.
Well,
I'm getting typecast over here. The Elegant and Stylish South Beach will be the host of the Assisters fundraiser on October 7th from 4 to 8 p.m. Cat Moon and Jerry Gonzalez, a.k.a. Candy St. James, will be performing at the, I forget what they call it. Decadent Desserts, 2007.
Yes.
Featured caterers include Carter & Cooley Company, Rainbow Lodge, Amanda's Bakery, Jim Benton Catering, Trevistio's, Starbucks, and much more.
Wow.
Performances by the Sisters of Avalon.
And that's a dance troupe.
Dance troupe. Watch celebration of dance to tunes of Katie Lang, Melissa Etheridge, and finally, We Are Family. The Dreamcatchers Country Dance Team will be over from the BRB.
Mm.
Tickets are $20 in advance, $25 at the door. You can pick up you can get tickets at Carter & Cooley Company in Delhi, Salon Marquis and Boutique, Mail You Wear, Bering United Methodist Church, Resurrection MCC, and you can also check them out at myspace.com/decadentdessert2007 or assist hers, also on MySpace.
Okay. It is the top of the hour.
You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
And it's time for Gigi's Corner. Gigi doing whatever Gigi wants to do because she's been here a long time, and I just know that she's always going to do a very provocative and fun segment.
Not Gigi.
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't have to put my hand on the dump button. It's
nah, not for you.
Not unless we have the webcam. Then, you know.
Hi, honey.
Hey, how you doing?
Lovely, lovely. How are you doing?
Doing good.
Who have you got there with you?
I've got Robin and David.
Good, great.
Hey, hello.
Hello.
What are you going to talk about tonight?
Well, I've been doing some writings, mm-hmm. new writings, and I come up with another new concept.
Oh, boy.
Actually, this one's kind of based on, or loosely borrowed from Abraham Maslow. His theory of the hierarchy of needs.
Oh, Maslow's.
Yeah, Maslow's.
Yeah. Okay.
And self-actualization. And I was thinking about that for a while, and it kept coming through my head.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden it hit me, and all of a sudden I said, we need a whole new concept on this. So I coined a new term, sexual actualization.
Wow.
Hey.
And building a hierarchy of needs based purely in sexuality.
Hmm. Okay.
And I'd like to read...
I'm working with this.
I don't read things too much on the air, but...
I know.
But I do want to read a little bit about what I wrote.
Okay.
Because I was kind of throwing... I'm still working on this a little bit, but I have written quite a bit on it. Sexual actualization is a life process of developing sex-positive abilities of uninhibited sexual expression between two or more consenting adults that is free of social conformity and social rules of sexual behavior. This includes written, spoken, unwritten, unspoken social conformity and social rules of sexual behavior. It also includes freedom from the influence of sexual taboos. Sexual actualization opens the door to experience the full range of human sexuality. It allows each individual to explore a wide variety of relationship models, a wide variety of sexual behaviors, and a wide variety of sexual adventures. It can open the door to a deeper realization of gender identity. It can include, but is not limited to, romantic love, self-love, physical sex, sacred sex, sex play, sex healing, BDSM, creative artistic sexual expression, and explorative sex. In full sexual development, we become knowledgeable about sexual anatomy of all genders, of our own bodies, and how we function on a sexual level. The process of sexual actualization includes learning and practicing advanced human sexuality, learning about tantric sex, Taoist sexual techniques, Western sex magic, spiritual aspects of BDSM, the Kama Sutra, are all good sources of information on advanced human sexuality. In the process of sexual actualization, one is able to experience a variety of types of orgasms. With trainings, females can learn how to have ejaculatory orgasms, and males can learn how to have full-body orgasms and multiple orgasms. At higher levels, one can experience spiritual sexual ecstasy, channel erotic energy through one's body for rituals and for other people, the art of sex healing, and out-of-body orgasms. So that's kind of, in a nutshell, how I'm kind of viewing sexual actualization. It's about developing a healthy set of values and attitudes about sex. It's about discovering for oneself through actual experience what different types of sexual behaviors work and feels good, instead of closing our mind due to prejudice and preconceived notions. It's about opening our minds to honest sexual exploration, not bowing down to the pressure of conformity, peer pressure, myth, negative labeling, and taboo.
Yep.
That's a mouthful, isn't it?
A lot to think about.
And I see this because I've been on this path for a long, long time. And I've been developing myself and exploring and exploring some of the scary things. Breaking taboos. Trying things out that are considered non-normal. In fact, I think that one of the things that really hits us is when we try to normalize sex. Normal sex is unnatural. It holds us back in fear. Normal sex leaves many of us lonely and desperate for love and touch, except in those rare moments of socially approved sex behaviors between a husband and a wife. Normal leaves us unfulfilled as sexual human beings during much of our existence in this life. In the name of normal moral, we are condemned to non-creative procreation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, you're asking something about normal sex. It's like, the first thought I had was, well, what's normal? Yeah. For most people, that's at least what I got taught and what I hear about is there is sort of this sense of, oh, this is normal, and anything else is strange or weird or should be illegal or,
mm-hmm.
or be cured or something.
But I think for me, basically, sexual actualization is becoming aware at a sexual level, at a psychosexual level, discovering some of the new frontiers in our own bodies, and learning new techniques. It's about development and about exploration and expressing ourselves as sexual human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And Jimmy's giving me this kind of funny look.
No, I don't want to horn in, but I just
feel free to jump in.
I've always believed that anything sexual between two or more people is fine as long as they all want to do it.
Yeah.
And that sex is not only a good thing, but it's an essential thing
mm-hmm.
for every human being.
All right.
And that without it, you die a little each day that you don't have sex.
All right. Now, what reminds me of is, here a few months ago, a friend of mine sent out this email message of some article he had found, and I think about I'll bring it next time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's talking about the healthful benefits of sex. I mean, one of the things that the particular article stuck in my mind was somebody had done a study, I think in Ireland, but they took this group of men and observed them over many years
mm-hmm.
and kind of checked their sexual habits. And found that on average, the men who lived longest were the ones who were having the most sex.
I'm not surprised.
Or more specifically, the most orgasms.
I am not surprised.
You know, at least the guys who seemed to be doing the best were the ones that had at least 3 orgasms a week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know what I've been doing now. keep myself healthy.
Well, I'm thinking, I think there would be a big difference in our prison system if sex was open there,
mm-hmm.
that anybody could have it and do whatever they want and if they wanted to do, and I think not only would it be beneficial for the guys, but I think it would help in behavioral problems.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think they should have, they can get condoms and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you've got a bunch of men that are sexually frustrated.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have the permission, really, to have sex with each other.
So they force it on each other using this pecking order and,
yes.
Abuse and stuff.
And so it doesn't become sex, it becomes control.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and so instead of having it, something they can enjoy,
yes.
it can be something of, yeah.
Exactly.
And That brings to mind Carol Queen.
Ah, good old Carol Queen.
She was once made the statement on this show, even, how sex offenders should be, you know, instead of being limited to coming to the peep shows, should get a court order to attend the peep shows.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, we do the opposite of what should be done. I say we in a societal sense.
Yes, yes. We here at After Hours, we kind of look at things differently.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The only time I cross the line is when people start doing it like little children. That's the only time I cross the line. But other than that, if you want to do that, and
as long as it's consensual.
Consensual, yes.
Just like
between consenting adults.
Just like the Leather Society, safe, sane, and consensual.
Mm-hmm. And you know, even on the children thing, I think that, you know, in our society, we've got this arbitrary age of 18.
Absolutely. Oh my goodness!
But some people are adult at 16.
I was sexually active at 12.
Some are
right.
I was 13.
I think that it becomes so arbitrary. And then mm-hmm. we've got 21-year-olds that are still children.
Yeah, oh yeah.
It depends on the person's immaturity. Yeah. When they can start having sex or not. Mm-hmm. It depends on the person individually.
I'm 48 years old. I'm still not sure what I want to be when I grow up.
Yes.
Well, part of sexual actualization is also learning.
Learning and growing.
And growing.
Yes.
But learning about our sexual anatomy, which is so, you know, a sex education class has just barely scratched the surface.
Oh, yeah, there's
God, it just made it worse for me to want to start
yes.
looking.
And it's still taught mostly on, you know, centered around not so much sex as an openness, but centered around this whole concept of procreation.
Mm-hmm. And that maybe that's why we have a different outlook, because mm-hmm. for the queer community, sex is more of a recreational
yeah.
activity than procreational.
I think what's yep. missing in it too is basically having a connection with your own body. We're so disconnected from our own bodies that it's not taught in our families or anything, in school or anywhere, and you basically have to kind of learn this on your own, and it's you're like way like in your 30s or something by the time you realize, and you got people still running around here all their lives never been connected to their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's so many people that don't even know that a woman has a prostate gland. It's a G-spot.
Mm-hmm.
That the clitoris has legs that wrap around the vagina.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That males can have non-ejaculatory orgasms.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But a lot of males think ejaculation is orgasm, and they are separate things.
Mm-hmm.
You can have an ejaculation without orgasm. You can have orgasm without ejaculation. But most boys in our culture are taught that ejaculation is orgasm.
And then it's that thing, it's all centered in the groin area, with the groin chakra, just basically in the lower part of your body. And you can have the orgasm all over your body, where you can have it anywhere.
Right. Yeah. I've had that experience myself. Yeah. You know, there was a ejaculation, but there was a sense that my whole body got in the act. It wasn't just the penis.
Yeah.
And we were taught that it has to be just in that spot. And I mean, I learned this a while back, but I mean, the tantra classes and stuff teaches you how you can get it to go everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
You can have a full-blown orgasm.
And, you know, a lot of men in our culture kind of taught to focus just on the genitals.
Mm-hmm.
Once you start learning how to spread that sex energy throughout the entire body, the whole body becomes a sex organ. A lot of people don't realize that females have erections.
Yeah.
And erectile tissue. the clitoris and the vagina and even the inner lips have erectile tissue with
them. Yeah, they actually start to like swirl, like get swollen.
Like. Mm-hmm. And we haven't even touched on the back door yet. Anal sex.
Oh.
Getting into exploring not just inside, but outside.
Yes.
The anus is so rich in
nerve endings
and that feels so good.
Yeah.
And yet, that's a big taboo in our culture.
Especially sticking your tongue there.
Oh, yes. I've stuck mine there.
Yeah. I find it interesting doing intercourse. My experience doing intercourse, somebody can, like, just barely stick it in there. That didn't go all the way in, you know, just kind of, like, around with it.
In the butt. Okay.
And doing intercourse, you know, in the vagina.
A little finger action, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Or whatever. And I bought this little toy where it fits around the base of the guy's penis, and it has, like, a front and a back, and in the front hits the clitoris, and in the back hits the rectum, and he's penetrating, and the person can penetrate the female, and it stimulates all three spots. So you're getting your insides stimulated, you're getting your clitoris stimulated, and you're getting your butt. So you get this super giant orgasm.
All right, later on, we're peeling you off the ceiling.
I've had experiences where I've had, and this was through an all-weekend experience, where I've had out-of-body orgasms.
Ooh.
Where my spirit, or whatever it is that's within us, its identity, was both above me and within me.
Oh, God, I experienced that.
And having an orgasm that goes through the crown chakra.
Now, something what your tongue reminds me of, and this is something I've been thinking about. It's actually this afternoon I went when we were Robin's apartment, sitting around waiting for something, and she had a copy of a magazine called Science of Mind magazine, put out by the United Church Religious Science, which we are a member of. And I was reading an article in there on, it actually was on the spirituality of being around spiritual, what had to do with issues of being in debt, you know, having to owe money or whatever, and how to deal with that from a spiritual perspective. And this man, whoever wrote this article, was talking about that. Apparently the person is a minister at one of the churches. And I was reading through it, and I could pick up from the article was about monetary issues. Mm-hmm. But I could pick up how that would be in other areas. And it's talking about why do some people get in debt? Well, it's like one reason they're trying to get stuff to fill in a quote-unquote hole in themselves. And I'm thinking to myself, I can sense that I have something going on with me sexually. That, I am bi, interested in both men and women, though I tend to have stronger feelings toward women. By having a sense that stronger sense towards women is sometimes like, there's a want that is so strong, it's like, oh, I don't get it, something's wrong. It's like, I got a feeling this, it's like, you know, there's neediness, which I don't seem to experience with men. And it's like, you know, I'm interested in women, I enjoy being sexual with women, and it's like, but at the same time, I have a problem there. I want to look at that more and figure out, okay, how can I do this in a better way and get the need met without being obsessive about it? You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think part of it is that when sex becomes an obsessive thing, we tend to be so goal-oriented. And I talk a lot about orgasms, but there's many times when I enjoy sex without any orgasms.
Right.
Just the touching, the caressing, the intimacy, the being connected with somebody.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Once you change focus from a goal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
To just experiencing the moment, which is really what all sex is all about. getting into the here and now.
Right.
Then all of a sudden, you can't have an obsession if you're totally in the here and now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
To me, I get that maybe it's a disconnectedness. Maybe you have a disconnected with females. Yeah. You're more connected with males.
Oh, yeah.
And this, you kind of got this disconnect, and you don't know how to connect with female, like, in other ways. So you want to, but you can't. And it's like, so you get this... And I see that with, not with just sex in general, I see that with other things, too.
Yeah.
You don't have this connection, you know, you have a tendency to be obsessive with it.
Well, I was thinking, I think you were telling us, you heard from Ataji.
Yeah.
She does the Earth 101 show. She was talking about something about men, you know, not being in touch with their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
I say overall I have a stronger sense of being in touch with my own body, speaking for myself, and yes, I want to improve that.
Yeah.
You know. So I kind of can hear that and say, I get it.
Mm-hmm. And part of that is spending time with yourself. A lot of times we think we have to spend time with a partner, that we have to be with a partner. And if we're not with a partner, there's something wrong.
Yeah.
And masturbation and self-exploration can be beautiful forms of sexual expression.
Right.
A lot of times in our culture, we're kind of culturated not to have a relationship with ourselves, just to get it off.
Yeah.
And to really fully take time with ourselves and fully explore ourselves in a self-loving way is probably one of the bigger taboos in our culture.
Right.
You know, you start thinking about narcissists.
Yes.
Yeah, the thing about it with me is...
Narcissists.
Like, I like that being... I've always done that since I was a child, like being with myself and having a sexual relationship with myself.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, like, I don't be wanting somebody to be there. I like to be able to have masturbate or whatever and just do all the stays with yourself and nobody don't be there but you.
Mm-hmm.
And other times, you know, you want somebody there, you know. And sometimes I'd be glad that maybe the person is not in the same house with you and stuff. Because then it's like, as soon as you start wanting to do that, they want to join in. And it's like, I want to have this time myself.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Want some alone time.
Yeah.
Quality time yourself.
Another aspect I touched on this process of sexual actualization is the sense of creating a sex-positive environment.
Mm.
What is a sex-positive environment?
Yeah. Well, I would say the first thing to mind is it's just plain all right to be sexual.
Mm-hmm.
It's encouraged and honored.
Mm.
To me, it's like we go out to Bastrop and Gigi has a sex temple and everything, and you can wear clothes, you don't have to wear clothes. You can be sexual, you don't have to be sexual. Whatever what you want to do, everybody's cool with it, and there's no big fuss about anything. It's like everything is just an open race, and it would be so nice if the whole planet was like that, or, you know, it was like that. I can go back home to Houston and be like that at home in Houston. It's like, so he goes out to the temple or whatever, even when it's in the daytime and we're just hanging around eating breakfast and stuff, it's that energy is still there where you can still, like, if somebody can decide to want to have sex, they can do it. Nobody's going to, like, oh, okay, whatever. And, you know, people can walk around naked or you can wear clothes. It's like the energy is constantly there. And I was thinking, boy, it would be nice if I could go back to Houston. It's like that.
Yep.
Well, for me, a sex-positive environment is an environment where all forms of sexual expression between consenting adults are not only recognized as legitimate forms of human sexuality, but are also celebrated.
Mm.
In a sex-positive environment, sexuality is considered a sacred act.
Mm.
Many forms of sexual expression are considered a form of worship. In a sex-positive environment, each individual is invited to worship within his or her belief system. Each individual is seen as a spirit within a body, and thus is worshipped as a sacred being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you.
A sex-positive environment is a judgment-free zone. It's a safe area for adults to explore all aspects of human sexual expression without condemnation, put-downs, or other degrading behaviors. Unless that's part of the role play you want to do.
Yeah, right.
But that's a whole different context. In a sex-positive environment, creative and experimental explorations of human sexuality are encouraged, not discouraged.
Thought that's coming to mind while I hear you talking about is, we're not, again, thoughts running from my mind is already about other people talking about positive sexuality, and there may be a tendency towards emphasizing technique, whereas right here you're emphasizing perhaps a larger whole, the whole philosophy. There's more going on there than just, you know, rub this spot.
Yeah.
This is, you know, a whole way of being expressed there.
Yeah, I like the idea, like, someone, like, there's somebody here, and I'm not going to say any names, but disrespect for the person, that likes to wear diapers. You know, and he was telling me about it and stuff, and I was like, it's kind of weird to me, but then it's like, this is a form of sexual expression. It's like, he should be allowed to be able to do that.
Yeah.
With himself and do it with his lover or girlfriend, and it's okay, and it's not something like, oh, he's sick or something wrong with him or something, you know.
Well, sounds a little strange to me too, but that says a lot more about me than it does about him.
It's strange to me, right. But to me, I respect the idea right. that he's willing to explore that part of him, because there are certain parts of me that maybe other people probably think is strange too.
I've explored that in myself.
Yeah.
I've gotten into infantilism.
Oh, yeah.
it can be a very healing form of sex play.
Like
an infant.
Mm-hmm.
And through role play and through certain props. And just being able to be that little child again.
All right.
To me, what I got out of it too, when I was in high school, I used to basically like tie a towel up around myself like a diaper, because it felt it kind of, you know, sexual.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't like, I guess you could say infantile type feeling, but it's just that feeling that's down there, and you can go to the bathroom, you know, and all that stuff. So when he told me that, I kind of can get it. It's like, yeah, I kind of get that a little bit. It's weird, but I can get that, because I used to do that myself. So it's like, you know, just to be doing something different than what you usually do.
In a sex-positive environment, all genders within the diverse gender spectrum are acknowledged, accepted, and celebrated. All genders are equal. Typical misogynistic gender roles and stereotypes and the behaviors associated with them are discouraged. Gender bending, playing with gender role, and exploring gender equality is encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
It's looking at the diversity in gender, kind of breaking this myth that we live in a binary gender system where there's only males and or females. It's harder to give a good versus bad, black versus white, in a diverse system, in a spectrum. When, as long as gender is a binary system, it's easy to put one is good, the other
right.
bad.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I remember being a kid, and we used to play house, and everybody always wanted me to play the male figure. So I used to like put a sock in my underwear and okay. act like a guy, and I find that kind of interesting. I was like, I kind of like playing a guy, so I played the role so well. It's like every time we got around playing house, I ended up having to play the dad or whatever, husband or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's wonderful to be able to explore that, even as an adult, to role play maybe the opposite sex.
Yeah. What I'm reminded of is something I've done, again, working for UGG. Mm-hmm. If we're talking about the tempo training, I would be okay. I'd set up this mirror in my bedroom, and then have my camera with me. I do the striptease in front of the mirror, which I also take some pictures. And one of the things I picked up on that is every now and then I would start to have some strong and otherwise pleasant feelings, which I tend to want to label as feminine.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, as soon as I start to get in touch with something like that part of me that's very masculine says there's something wrong being feminine, just kind of, you know, slap, you know, just cut it right off. And so,
uh-huh.
You know, so it does tell me something that, you know, I have a fear there of, as to say, quote unquote, the feminine, since when I actually am in touch with it and connected to that. That label doesn't have a me. I'm just having a desirable, you know, a good feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So that the notion of feminine or masculine starts to lose some of its meaning. I mean, when I get in touch with my true essence as a masculine person, so that label falls away, because then I stop. Then it's no longer this or that, but a continuum.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and we're all born with the same building blocks. We all start out female.
Mm-hmm.
And gender truly is a spectrum.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
In fact, the best description I've ever heard of it is that you start out with the building blocks of the early sex tissues.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
And you can either add maleness to it
Right.
or not add it.
Right.
And but no matter how much you keep adding, let's say male is blue and female is red.
Mm. Okay.
You can have a true red, true female.
Yeah.
I guess.
Right.
But no matter how much of the blue you add to it,
right,
you're never going to get back to blue. It's always going to be some level of purple.
Right.
It may be a very deep bluish purple.
Right.
But all you do is keep adding more and more. But you can never erase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the female is the default setting.
Yeah.
If we're talking computers or something.
One thing. Did you have something?
I find it's interesting is me being a female, born a female. It's like, okay, I started off as a female, born a female. It's like, why did this male side come up? It's like, is there something?
Well, all females have some testosterone, male hormones.
Oh, yeah.
In varying degrees.
Mm-hmm.
As we develop, certain things have to happen in certain orders, especially early development within the womb when we're still before we're born, and then there's some important developmental phases as we're growing up, and then also in puberty. So a lot of things can happen that will add male ingredients to the person.
Yeah, I get that.
And so you're never 100% female.
Yeah, I've definitely got that one.
In the sense of, well, there are some people that are, their cells are insensitive to male hormones.
Yes.
So they might be what I would call the closest you could get to being 100% female.
Right.
But what's strange is often those are males.
But I ran into some females like that, and to me, it's very alien.
Yeah.
To be that feminine.
Yeah. I would like to kind of talk about another area on sexual actualization, and that is this quest to discover our bodies. A lot of us kind of have a pretty good idea where our erotic zones are.
Mm, you're right.
Where our hot spots are. And there's an exercise that I've done that is really kind of cool. It's creating an erotic body map. And sharing that with your partner. Because oftentimes communication is so void in sexual expression.
Yeah.
By creating an erotic body map of yourself and sharing that with your partner, all of a sudden you open up a whole new dimension, a whole new communication of what you like. We're not all wired the same way.
Mm-hmm.
We're all wired a little differently. And there's different things that turn us on. And often in sex, what happens is that we try to give our partner the same stimulation that would turn us on.
Yeah.
And there's this kind of assumption that, well, if it gets me off, it'll get my partner off.
Mm-hmm. It's like, I compare my experience being, sexual with Robin versus being sexual man. With Robin, I had to pay attention to what she's telling me or how she's reacting or whatever. Whereas with another man, I don't have to pay attention that much to them because I can use my own body as a reference point. Is what will feel good to them.
Well, same thing with me when I do it with women compared to men.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And but creating an erotic body map, all of a sudden you can open a whole new dimension because all of a sudden you know. And it takes a little time.
Yeah.
Figuring out, okay, where do I like to be touched? How do I like to be touched there? And sometimes timing can be important for an erogenous zone. Has to be warmed up before touching match.
Right.
And so there's different ways you can kind of create this map using color coding, kind of putting down the, one of the way I did it was to take red for my hot areas. These are highly erotic.
Right.
Orange for warm areas. Can be a turn on if stimulated just right.
Okay.
But if not stimulated just right, it's not a turn on.
Right.
Then lukewarm areas with yellow. I have to be in the right mood for stimulation to feel erotic here.
You're right.
Because mood can play a big part on our erogenous zones. Green, a neutral area. Touching here doesn't do much one way or the other. Blue, a cool area. I don't like stimulation here. It turns me off sexually.
Right.
Black, cold area. If I'm stimulated here, I shut down. By creating this erotic map, we learn a little bit more about our own bodies and a little bit more on how to communicate to our partner about our bodies and to learn about their body. Sometimes less is more. Some erogenous zones respond better to a light, feathery touch. Other areas respond to heavy sensations. Sometimes there's areas of our body for some people that are highly ticklish. Touch there and sometimes being tickled can be a sexual turn on. Sometimes it can be a turn off.
Now, Rob's discovered a few of those on me. Chase away across the room.
I think one thing that also helps in this process of sexual actualization is becoming aware of my own belief system. I examine my language. When I find myself using generalizations or categorizations, there's usually a myth or taboo at work. It sets up the mentality of good versus bad, right versus wrong. Often questioning can be helpful in this process. Is it true that?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Right.
There's also a power in naming. Naming and reclaiming goes a long way. when we give a name to something, we give it focus.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Explore one's whole body. Don't just focus in on one place, the genitals. Be aware of your entire central system, sexual system.
Yeah. Yeah. And in my exploration of my bisexuality and what, you know, how I'm able to accept that in whatever, so I'm not able to accept that, I gain a better understanding and appreciation for the term internalized, about things being internalized, and beliefs and stuff, to the point where I don't even realize they're so normal, I almost don't notice them. until I start asking questions, or really asking, is this really what works for me, or is this really honestly what I believe?
Yeah.
And really trying to sort out between that, you know, quote-unquote, yeah, belief in what do I really feel deep down.
Mm-hmm.
So.
One thing I'd like to bring up, too, you know, on this whole process of sexual actualization, is that we do live in a sex-negative society. It's very ageist.
Mm-hmm.
It's very focused on physical beauty, which kind of is an illusion. Physical beauty is nice, but
right.
There's so much deeper. There's emotional beauty. There's psychic beauty.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also this whole sense of charisma. Charisma isn't a physical thing so much as it is a kind of that sense of looking into the eyes and seeing that sparkle. Part of this process of sexual actualization is about learning how to refocus. Focus on the things I like about myself, not on the negative messaging that I give myself.
Mm-hmm.
And we get kind of culturized to tear ourselves down.
Right.
Oh, I'm too fat, or I'm too thin, or I'm too young, or I'm too old. I find it kind of interesting. You know, as growing up, you know, I was always given the message, oh, you're too young to do that. You're way too young. You're too young to understand. Then there came this age where, well, you're too old now to really get into this.
Right.
Older people shouldn't do these kinds of things.
Oh, man, they be doing...
And I found this window of when I'm the right age was a very small window.
Don't blink or you'll miss it.
Exactly. Actually, what I did was I redefined it. And I said, well, I'm the right age anytime.
Yeah, really.
Yes.
That's part of ageism.
Mm-hmm.
Saying we're too young or too old to play, to fondle, to caress, to be silly.
You're right.
Yeah, I find being like in elementary age, how we used to just like hug each other and like gyrate on each other with our clothes on.
Mm-hmm.
We never really went into penetration or anything. I guess because we just, you know, at that age where, you know. But I mean, we got such a stimulated just like gyrating on each other and stuff, and we would have our clothes on.
Yeah. There's the thing about myself is here I am, you know, 48-year-old adult male. But I still play toy trains. Still like play model trains. I still got some stuffed animals sitting on my next to my pillows on my bed. Feels right to me.
I brought up the word taboo a few times. Taboo is a form of psychosocial control more potent than even the most rigid moral code. A taboo is a prohibition collectively shared by a society with a force so strong that it is rarely questioned or even discussed. It just is. And that's from a book called Anal Pleasure and Help, A Guide for Men and Women by Jack Moran, Ph.D.
Mm-hmm.
And think about that. You know, a taboo is a pretty strong force.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Never question, rarely question, or even discussed. It just is.
Yeah. Like I was saying earlier about something being internalized. You know, it's like picked up all these messages and didn't question them, didn't know there was an alternative, and just assumed, well, that's how it is until something comes along and says, hey, there is something different.
But it also has a very strong social force.
Right.
I've seen it many times. In fact, a lot of jokes tend to be this kind of taboo police, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Think about jokes, you know.
Yeah.
They're keeping those taboos in force.
Well, it's like, you know, men as a group are more sexually active or prone or whatever than women are as a group.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard a lot of jokes, especially, heterosexual jokes about the guy who, just loses all control because he sees a woman and, just starts craving. And it's like, well, that's because we're telling the jokes on ourselves because, and sometimes I think that a lot of these taboos that we have or customs that people have developed are attempts to deal with those things. But, there's an intention there, a good intention, but nobody's really, thought about it and really said, oh, is this really working? Is this really getting what we want from it?
Mm-hmm. To me, it's like my mom. I was having a conversation with my mom one day. She was driving. And I was telling her about how this, me and my other male friend was, and some other friends was talking about sex in general. And the term blowtop came up and everything, And my mom was like, you talk about that stuff with your friends? I go, yeah, they my friends. We gonna talk about stuff like that. And it dawned on me that sex to me is so normal. It's like the norm for me that I can just talk about, as I have friends, I can just talk about because it's just part of nature to me.
Mm-hmm.
With my mom, it was like, you just don't do that. Oh, my God. And I said, well, Mom, did you talk about it with your friends? She said, no, I didn't talk about it with my friends. She said, we just didn't talk about it. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, how the hell did you learn how to have sex and everything? It's like, what did you get if it wasn't anywhere... Anywhere you can kind of pick up on it. It's like, I just figured it out as we went along. And I'm like, I can't believe y'all never talked about it with anybody. It's like, no, we never talked. My parents never talked. It was just this super taboo.
I mean, here we are talking about sexuality, and quite frankly, I still find myself being a little uncomfortable talking about it, even though I'm quite willing to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's a combination of that's the message I picked up, and when I, growing up, and quite frankly, at one time I endorsed that belief.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, so now I'm in the process of changing my mind.
Yeah.
For me, it's more like because I was so comfortable with my own body. Like GJ was saying, oh, part of the exercises we're going to have to do, we're going to have to explore our bodies. And I was like, oh, okay. Everybody else is like, you got to do what? It's like, I was doing that already. It's like, okay, it's no big deal to me. But it's like, for some reason, I just got so comfortable with it, even though I was taught that, oh, you shouldn't do that and all that. For some reason, it was like, well, I don't know why we shouldn't.
Yeah. It reminds me of, like, again, said something about somehow how my attitude has changed over years and kind of, again, sense of the direction I like going. I remember, say, 11, 12, 13 years old, laying in bed nude and just look at my own penis and just looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
And watch it kind of get erect and then go flaccid and then come back and go away and all that. And just, oh, just laying there, just, oh, look at that, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, like, I do that, I try to do that now, and something might say, okay, now stop playing myself. I got to do something.
Yeah,
I mean, it's interesting because I didn't just explore my genitals. I was exploring my earlobes, with a mirror, what the folds look like, into my body. Oh, yeah. I was, like, trying to look at it and analyze it.
I'd like to bring up this concept. It's this concept of the process of world making. All of us make our world.
Right.
We build. We have no direct conscious experience of the world. What we have is direct conscious experience of our perceptions of the world.
Right. Yes.
It's through our senses that we get the world. Our perceptions can be influenced by attitudes and values, by belief systems. They can be colored by our emotions, what we feel. A large part of what we feel is kind of influenced by what we've been taught and also what's within our nature.
Oh, yeah.
It's a very complex system. Once we start opening new doors and start changing our attitudes and values and our belief systems, we've created a whole new world for ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
That's the process of world making.
Mm.
It's the process of sexual actualization.
Oh, yeah.
And then we discover that there's this whole universe within ourselves, that we are one with everything.
Mm. Oh.
Think about it this way. Once you start opening certain new doors, we get rid of all the limitations.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
All of a sudden, we become whole.
Mm.
Yeah. I like that. And maybe one day it will be like that. The world keeps going and nothing, and doesn't come to an end soon. It will get there.
It's not that. A lot of times we look at it as this whole sense of the world, but change starts with each individual.
Right.
As we each change ourselves, we are part of the world. We make the world. And by becoming something more and different within ourselves, all of a sudden the world changes with us.
Mm-hmm. It's just like me being very comfortable with sexuality. Like, I was shocked with my mom. Now, as I ever had kids, I can, like, pass that down to my children, and it can be a normal thing for them, and that can start up something.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of
and not just with your kids, but with friends.
With other people, which I'm doing anyway.
Yeah.
With people that... I once had a good friend that told me, said, sometimes you will have influence. You may not even know the people you have influence on. Someone may just observe you from a distance and have an earth-shattering change in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll never know it.
Yeah, you can change somebody's life. Like, don't they say you change it can seven times or whatever? You
no,
can
seven generations.
No.
Like, you can touch seven people and then it, and then you 14 people, it keeps spreading and spreading.
Right. Well, there's this concept of the seven, I forget how it's worded, seven levels of contact.
Okay.
If you need to get in touch with someone, say a famous star,
you're right.
There's seven people in your life that know seven people that will get you in touch with that
Okay.
famous person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get at.
Or get something like that. Right. I forget. It's been a long time on that one for me.
7 degrees of separation.
That's it.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I'm getting the wrap-up sign, signal. I would like to kind of bring this to closure and just say that when I was a child, I knew I was different. While it was never spoken, I somehow knew there was a family secret, a skeleton in the closet. It had something to do with me. I think that it's through this process of sexual actualization that I discovered who and what I am. I discovered the potential that we can all become.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And so I'd like to close with that. Fondle yourselves. Fondle each other.
Ooh.
Explore. Become sensual. We live in a touch-deprived society. Reach out and touch someone. It can be very healing.
Just be careful when you do it at an airport.
Yeah, everybody get a free hug.
Thank you, Gigi.
Oh, you bet.
All right. Yank those down. Your mic's on, Jimmy.
Hello.
He still hits his knees so easily. All right, we're coming up to the top of the hour. It'll be the Mr. Schmidtfeld Domination Happy Hour.
And they look very domineering this evening.
Which is why he hit his knee so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You've been listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. We'd love to hear from you. Give us your news information, coming events, love mail, hate mail.
Dirty pictures!
You can do it two ways. You can send us email at afterhours@kpft.org. Snail mail is After Hours, care of KPFT Houston, 419 Lovett Boulevard.
Love TT. Oh, yeah. Love TT.
Thank you, Senator Craig. Houston, Texas, 77006.
Not just a zip code, but a life.
And now, your PSAs.
The Association for India's Development, AID, brings to Houston community a colorful evening featuring Indian classical and fusion dance by Shabana and her troupe. Shabana, a popular dancer and actress from India, has performed all over the globe. The event will feature classical and fusion dance to Western, Caribbean, and flamenco music. The performance will be on Friday, September 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Cullen Performance Hall, University of Houston. AID is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that supports grassroots projects in India in education, health, women's empowerment, and social justice. All proceeds from the event will support these projects. For information about event tickets, visit www.houston.aidindia.org. Again, www.houston.aidindia.org or call 281-433-3505. That's 281-433-3505. Mark your calendars for September the 7th, KPFT Houston.
Viva Venezuela, mi patria querida.
Venezuela Viva is a group of Houstonians who stand in solidarity with the people of Venezuela. Venezuela Viva seeks to educate our communities by providing accurate information about the promising social changes progressing in Venezuela and to counter mainstream media bias. We seek to foster understanding through artistic, cultural, political, and intellectual interaction. We oppose U.S. intervention against Venezuela in any form and defend...
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.